Hey, what's going on, everyone? How you guys doing tonight, this morning, wherever the fuck it might be? I don't know where you live. I know where I live. I live in Washington on Pacific Standard Time. It's a great place to be, especially if you like rocks. Lots of mountains here. We're known as the Evergreen State, but all things considered, we should be known as probably a lot more than that. We should be known as a good place to pick boulders. Welcome to Boulder Talk Radio, episode number one. Officially, yesterday was a tester episode with episode number two, or episode number zero, I should say, where we just had conversations for an hour. And tonight's going to be very similar to that, too. We're going to be taking your phone calls in a little bit. I wanted to go over a couple weird news stories that I found, a couple things to keep us talking, keep us discussing, keep us laughing. All things considered, we're going to be talking about a couple going viral on the internet because they wanted to name their child after Star Wars. Now, I'm not against that personally. I have two young daughters, and the idea of naming one of them Leia came up. But this isn't that. This is not that at all. And we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about a man who shoots himself in the penis, but then becomes a hero for it. We're going to be talking about a teacher currently suspended because he showed up topless in a Zoom meeting. I don't know. What the hell is going on with that one? And then finally, an Australian casino is under fire because a very underage person was caught gambling. And that's going to be fun. So, of course, we're going to be covering those stories. We're going to be talking about those things. Then we're going to be going into your calls. So get ready for that as we get ready to dive right in. So why don't we first things first, because people are coming on in. They're siphoning in. I see people coming in the chat. We'll just go right into the first story here, the crazy one about the Star Wars. Now, this popped up on Reddit's Am I the Asshole? Well, let's find out. This is, am I the asshole for wanting to name my daughter after a Star Wars character? This is what they write. Throwaway, of course, since we are 99% set on the name and don't need my child's name tied to my Reddit history. Of course, my take on that is all the times you've gone over to porn in 15 seconds and left one of those comments. You don't want your kid Googling that and coming back to it. Now he says, my wife and I are huge fans of the Star Wars movies. Huge. We met while camping out for the premiere of The Force Awakens. Our spark was instant. And just a year later, I proposed with a ring hanging from the arm of a Rey Funko figure. And she said yes. Everything about us is Star Wars. And I mean everything. From what we watch, to what we play, to our home decor, our friends think we are a bit nutty, but have always respected it until my wife got pregnant and we shared the name we wanted when we found out we were having a little girl. What do you guys think it might be? Is it going to be Leia? Is it going to be Rey? Is it going to be Rose? Is it going to be Maz Kanata? Is it going to be, is it going to be Hera Syndulla? Is it going to be Sabine Wren? Is it going to be Mon Mothma? No. If you answered any of those, you're wrong. It's actually Captain Phasma. That's the name they chose here. But they write it like the whole name. Right? It's the whole name. It's not Captain Phasma last name. It's Captain Phasma with the hyphen, like Mary Kate, middle name, last name. They want to name their precious little daughter Captain Phasma. You want to name your kid after one of the most useless characters in the sequel trilogy. Gwendolyn Christie, Miss Fights for Female Empowerment, Miss Brienne of Tarth got totally hosed in The Last Jedi. And you want to name her after, I mean, that, I kind of personally feel like that's setting your kid up for fucking failure. Anyway, he goes on. She's due in 6 weeks, and once we announced the name on a Zoom meeting with our family and closest friends, they went from being happy and excited to appalled. They think we are messing up the child for this. My wife and I were both bullied as kids, including myself for having a name associated with a girl. Example, Jordan. And we think a strong name would make other kids in awe of our daughter, especially once you have a tie-in to Gwendolyn Christie, who was basically a warrior. Our daughter should be both respected and feared. Here's the thing with that, though. Kids aren't going to know who the fuck Gwendolyn Christie is. Sorry. That's true. You know, if you want to sit there and play, she's a fearless warrior. Yeah, Brianna Tarth on Game of Thrones, a show your child should not be watching, if not only for the violence and the nudity, but the rampant, persistent incest that takes place multiple times through that entire series. Is that something you want your kids involved in? Is that something you want your kid to look up? Daddy, Mommy, why did you name me Captain Phasma? I know you said Gwendolyn Christie, but I looked up Game of Thrones and her character was in love with a person who committed incest on his twin sister. Not really sending the best message there. Not at all. But the posts go on. My parents are begging us to consider naming our girl Gwendolyn or Brienne for Christine's Game of Thrones character, or for Christie's Game of Thrones character. Honestly, it's a sore point with my wife and me because she watched the show behind my back and it bothers me. Okay? And my parents know this, so I would definitely not consent to naming her Brienne, even though I respect Christie and her talents in the clips I have seen. So am I the asshole, or are we the asshole, for wanting to name our daughter after a strong female character from our favorite movies? I feel like between Star Wars being where it got our start and our lives basically being that, it shouldn't be so bad. Now, this is where the guy... Now, obviously, the answer to this is, no, you fucking moron. You don't do this. You don't be stupid. You don't name your kid Captain Phasma. You want a nicknamer Phasma? You want a nicknamer Phasma? Fine. Fucking nicknamer Phasma. No one's going to give a shit. It's a cute nickname. Oh, this is my daughter, little Phasma. Oh, okay. You know? So she's, yeah, Phasma's a cool little name. All right, cool. What's her real name? Call her Gwendolyn. Call her Gwendolyn. Or Brienne or whatever. You know, call her that. That's fine. But no, he's pissed off this guy. He's like, so I don't know if this is real. This is blowing up on the web. A lot of people are talking about this. To me, it's kind of dumb. To me, it's so insipidly fucking stupid. And I say that. And I say that because it's stupid. It's just dumb. You have a guy who is so... I don't want to use the term cucked, but I feel like the word cucked comes into play, especially when you talk about this Game of Thrones section here. My wife watched it behind my back and I'm furious. So go watch it. Not that hard. You know, it's not that difficult. HBO Max, all 8 seasons. There you go. $13.99 a month. Knock yourself out. Watch the show. I don't see the point of being... I find this to be funny. This guy's more butthurt over her watching Game of Thrones that he doesn't want to name his daughter Brienne of Tarth or Brienne because his wife cheated on him by watching it. That's what he's trying to say. So obviously the responses to this are as what you would expect, which is just dumb, so stupid. He actually puts an edit here. He says, I thought reactions would be mixed, but I'm surprised at how negative it is, especially with the reasons for her name. We have some time to think this over more, and at least my wife is open to opening CP's name with a more normal-sounding name first. And that's fine. Look, that's fine. Here's the truth of the matter, guys. You name your kid something dumb and stupid, it's going to follow them to school. Kids are inherently mean. Kids are inherently mean, and those mean kids grow up to be mean adults on the internet. So those mean people are going to laugh at Captain Phasma as a name. Call her Gwendolyn Phasma something or another. Just make it her middle name. Make it a nickname. You know, like, there's nothing wrong with a cute nickname. You could totally do that. And it's just, you know, like, my girlfriend calls our youngest daughter Shmoo. She took it from the show The Goldbergs, but she likes the name. She's like, oh, my little Shmoo. Like, that's her little nickname. Come here, Shmootsy Wootsy. You know, it's stuff you say to kids. They don't know what the fuck is happening. Their entire life is consistent around, like, do they eat and do they piss and do they shit? That's their existence. And right now it's cute. Oh, it's our little Captain Phasma. Look at her with the little silver booties. You know? You're gonna raise her on the legacy of Gwendolyn Christie's character in the sequel trilogy? I wouldn't be surprised if just how the way that whole thing ended, she had hatred for a black man the entire time. And he beat her twice, and the second time he killed her. All I'm saying on that front is you might be raising a racist. All right, if you don't teach her proper respect, that the color of your skin doesn't matter, but the content of your character is what applies. Martin Luther King, say his name, amen. That's what I'm talking about here. It's a terrible joke. I apologize. But it's true. It's like, it's so stupid. It's so dumb to want to name your child Captain Phasma. But the internet's not having it. The internet is, they're giving suggestions here, you know, like they could name her Jin for Jin Erso. You know, they could name her anything, literally anything else. So now the question becomes, will these people actually decide that they want to save their child the embarrassment of calling her Captain Phasma? Now, of course, I want to see what you guys have to say about this, too. Liquid Cryptid said Phasma was good in Battlefront 2. Sure. In a video game, not a movie. Where you get to control the character and you get to have choices over her actions. I would argue that if we would have had an interactive movie with her, if The Last Jedi's fight scene would have been more interactive, I have a feeling Gwendolyn Christie, Captain Phasma, battle-hardened warrior sergeant stormtrooper in the First Order would have bested a janitor. You know, you want to talk about unrealistic expectations in the sequel trilogy. Everyone's all like, well, Rey's just overpowered. She's such a Mary Sue. Yet Finn, no training on literally anything involving hand-to-hand combat, wields a lightsaber enough to get a hit on Kylo Ren and defeats Captain Phasma in the second movie in hand-to-hand combat. So it's, you know what, we could argue the merits of that one. But now granted by episode 9, we find out he's force sensitive. So he just understands, he's more intuitive to it. But he's not called a Gary Sue, even though there's more evidence to support him being a Gary Sue than quite literally anything else. Okay. All right. So it's like Shadow Nova Productions here says, like when Elon Musk named his kid that one complicated name. Yeah, that's very fucking true. Name their kid the very complicated name. Obviously, that's going to be a problem. So there we have it on that one right there, guys. What we're dealing with is a world. What we're dealing with is a world where these people, these deranged Star Wars fans, and I say this as a Star Wars fan, I literally have a Millennium Falcon rug, pinned on my wall. I'm looking at it right now. It's sexy. I love it. Next to a whole bunch of Star Wars posters and a Chewbacca Build-A-Bear. Next to my Darth Vader and Boba Fett Funko Pop the bobbleheads. I'm a big fan, and I think that's stupid as hell. I didn't even want to name my own daughters after this. I didn't even want to name my own kids after Star Wars characters. We talked about it, like the name Luke. We like the name Luke if we had a boy. We really like the name Logan if we had a boy. And we thought about that after we saw Logan and my girlfriend was pregnant. She was like, if we have a boy, let's name him Logan. It's a good name. It's a solid name. Luke is a solid name. Leia is a solid name. Han, I would go with Han as like a middle name. You know, but this Captain Phasma, kill me. Just please take me up back, beat me with a shovel and be done with it. This stuff is just terrible. It was just God fucking awful. So why don't we talk here about this, this other story. This is coming out of San Jose, California, good old San Jose. Nothing weird ever happens there. Where an East Side Union High School district superintendent is now talking about having to suspend a teacher who appeared topless in an online class. Now, when I first read the headline, my first thought was like, oh, dang, some lady showing off her tiggo bitties on a Zoom call with a whole bunch of kids. Okay, class, today we're going to be talking about sex ed. I want to direct your attention to my boobies. Because this is how I'm going to show you guys how to identify what an areola is and also how to check for lumps. Breast cancer is a big problem. Breast cancer is a huge problem. You get checked frequently. Ladies, talk to your partner about being proficient in what I call the tune in Tokyo approach to breast cancer awareness. It's a lot of heavy groping, but it's medically accurate, medically sound. I'm a doctor on the internet. Anyway, so according to this article here, an East Side Union High School district teacher is on administrative leave after he appeared on camera bare-chested during a distance learning class. Elizabeth Avila says her daughter, a freshman at Silver Creek High School in San Jose, signed on for her second math class of the academic year. only to find her teacher shirtless in violation of the dress code he himself had outlined just days earlier. I just have to say, I think that like showing up to a class like that shirtless on any reasoning is like, it's yeah, that's pretty inappropriate. You know, like right now, I'll fully admit, I'm off camera. I got a wife beater on. It's hot. I look like you probably think I look, sitting here sweaty, hot, wearing a wife beater, talking about weird news. Yeah, I'm that guy. But I know well enough not to be on camera while I'm wearing a wife beater with my pasty, hairy skin for you guys. No one wants to see that. Unless maybe you do, and then maybe I'll start an OnlyFans. But anyway, Elizabeth here says that her daughter started to feel uncomfortable. She couldn't concentrate on the topic because all she was seeing was this old man on camera in her bedroom. That is creepy, to be fair. Now, a girl snapped a photo of the teacher and called her mom, who immediately contacted the school. And the mom was told later on that the teacher had been placed on administrative leave. Now, in the email, Superintendent Chris Funk said that the person in the picture appeared to be a district employee, but he declined to release any information about if it was or wasn't. So it appears that this was a district employee. It appears that this was not a random person who hacked into a Zoom call, because, you know, that shit never fucking happens. And anyway, they said here, I will say that the behavior is unacceptable, unprofessional, and violates several district policies. The situation is under investigation, he says. In situations like this, an employee is immediately placed on administrative leave pending the outcome of the investigation. Now, why did this happen, potentially? Why would this teacher go on camera not wearing a shirt? That's a solid question to ask. Why would that happen? Well, keep in mind, this is California. So the article kind of speculates here. The East Bay Times article kind of speculates, and they say, well, it isn't immediately clear whether the weather was a factor in the teacher's decision to go topless. The mercury climbed to 103 degrees in San Jose on Friday, beating last year's record of 98 degrees. So it was over 100 degrees. And maybe because this guy was teaching, he couldn't have air conditioning on. It was too loud. It just got to be too hot. And he just is like, fuck it. I'm taking it all off. Because if he was topless, if he wasn't wearing a shirt, I guarantee you this dude was most likely not wearing any pants either. At least not what they would call school district, you know, appropriate. So you got, you know, good thing they didn't look down. They might be able to tell what religion he is. Now the mom here, this is where she gets, I mean, and I understand her concern, but she goes on to say that she's concerned that the teacher might engage in other problematic behavior. And this is, look, we don't know why this guy did it. Okay. He did it. It was stupid. It was dumb. He's on administrative leave. He's most likely going to be suspended, if not fired. His reasoning probably has something to do with like the heat. I mean, it's a decent argument. But when she's like immediately, well, I don't know what else he might be doing, it's like, okay, now you're putting this like chomo thing on this guy. And you don't know that. Now, it's a natural fear for a parent to have. It's a natural fear for a parent to have. I get that entirely. But it's also like, you know, people, you know, they get accused of that shit all the time on the internet. And it's not true, like, a lot. But still, it's like, you know, that's what she's alluding to, and that's what it could be here. But anyway, now she did. This is funny too, because it's like she's like, well, the mom acknowledged that COVID had fundamentally changed the education system. Scores of children like hers are now learning remotely. But some things are common sense, she says. Be a professional, put a shirt on, and I agree. Be a professional, put a damn shirt on. Why not? Right? Just put a goddamn shirt on. You know, you don't have to, if no one is going to see you from like, you know, just wear a button up, you know, short sleeve, whatever, man, rock the shorts, rock a kilt, and just have a fan pointed right there at your junk, just keeping the family jewels nice and cool in 103 degree weather. You know, it may not get picked up by the microphone, but at least your undercarriage is nice and cool and it keeps you from doing something stupid. Because let's be fair, if we're always told, men, that our brains are in our penises and they start to overheat, we do dumb shit, right? So just keep your junk cool and everything's going to be all good, I would assume, to some extent, maybe, perhaps. Who knows? Who freaking knows? Now, Starship Trooper here says, sounds like he has problems, like the song My Name is Sue, that wanted this, well, maybe you're talking about the wrong story here. Oh, yeah, you're talking about the wrong story. All right. So, yeah, Ryan here says he could have at least worn a tank top, but I get it if that's the case, if it was hot. Well, I mean, I'm wearing a tank top right now. A wife beater is considered a tank top right now. That's not a problem. You know, that's not an issue necessarily. So I don't think it's going to be a big problem here. I do want to see here. I tried playing with the Streamlab today real quick to see if I could get the chat to stay on screen even more. I don't know if it's working or not. Sometimes OBS likes to work. Sometimes OBS doesn't like to work. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. But anyway. All right. Why don't we talk about the next thing here? This is a funny one here. Coming out of Australia. All right. An Australian casino has been fined $64,000 after a 12-year-old was caught on camera gambling. Now, this cracks me up because I used to run security at a casino. Long time ago. I was 18. I was working security at a casino in San Diego. And I was fervent about, I was dedicated about ideas. I'm like, you're not getting in here if you're not 18 years old. I got an eye for this shit. Maybe I was embracing my inner Karen at the time, you know, really wanted to make sure the underage kids couldn't gamble. But I'm pretty sure they did. And apparently not here in Australia, but there in Australia it happened. So the Star Casino in Sydney, Australia was hit with a fine of $64,500 or $90,000 in Australian money. After a series of incidences involving minors, one of which involved a 12-year-old girl gambling on the premises. So it's not just like one kid. It's like, come on, you guys. I don't know if I can do it in Australian. Like, come on, you guys. You got to not let the minors gamble, you know? I mean, like minors, not minors, you know, right? That's more Kiwi, I think. I apologize for that. I try to work on my Australian. I really do. Sometimes I get it down okay. But then it usually shifts into Kiwi, and then it shifts into British, and then it just sounds like terrible. But I mean, apparently this is a thing that's happening. So anyway, footage released by the Liquor and Gaming of New South Wales shows on August 15th that the girl being snuck into the casino by her mother through an exit door to evade security. Wow, mother of the year. Absolute Chad of a mom, an alpha mom, if you will. It goes, I mean, that's how you get some solid mommy daughter time. Well, mommy's want to go to the casino to find you a new father. I'm going to sneak you in through a back door so no one can tell what's going on. If anyone asks, you're a midget. Sorry, little person. We're politically correct here. Apparently now the casino takes place in New Jersey versus Sydney, Australia. Now, once inside, the pair met up with the girl's father, and the child proceeded to place 21 bets on several poker machines over 17 minutes. The casino was also fined for two other incidences involving minors on the premises, with teenagers being served alcohol in both those scenarios. Now, that just, you know, come on. So dumb. Come on. Security's... I understand the casinos are hurting. I understand the casinos want their money. I understand that the casinos very, very, very much want to get what they can get out of this. I get it, man. I 100% get it that they want to make sure they get their action, they get all their stuff. But, you know, hey, look, a 12-year-old out there gambling, maybe not the best fucking idea to have that, right? Maybe not the best thing. Maybe it's not a good idea to let a kid, gamble. But at the same time, and I'm just saying, I'm just saying this as a person who wants to ask these questions. Is it entirely possible? That the parents, you know, that the parents in this particular case can allow it? Now, I don't know what their laws are for drinking in Australia, for underage drinking. I think it's like 16, right? Like I've heard stories about like being 16 in Australia. But anyway, here in the States, you could be given alcohol by a parent, by a parental guardian. You can be given alcohol, and it's fine on your home residence, your own premises. So, but if a parent says, like, you know, you can take a kid under the age of 17 to go see an R-rated movie, right? You can do that. But I mean, I don't know. Like, if the kid's just gambling and the parents are okay with it, is it that big of a fucking deal? That's my question to you. If you guys think it's a big deal, press one. If you don't think it's a big deal, press two. If parents can say it. I'm curious to know that at this point. I'm really curious to know. You know, it's just, that's to me kind of funny that this is what where we're finding ourselves. And I don't think that Streamlabs is working with the bringing the chat in. I always have trouble with that, so I do apologize. It's supposed to be on the screen. It's not working. I'll have to test it out later on. But okay. Why? But so here's the thing, guys. I'm going to bring this up real quick. We're gonna get ready for this after I cover the last story. If you guys want to call in, there's a number. Hold on. Don't do it just yet. I'll tell you guys when, but that you can get ready. You can get prepped. You can get it in your phone right now. Okay. So we'll be talking about this final story here. And this, of course, is something stupid coming out of of Facebook, of all things. So a man who points his gun at his penis shoots himself in said penis, then becomes a hero in the group. And that makes the most amount of sense, right? So this is coming in from Vice. Apparently this happened in San Diego. As a former San Diego resident, I can attest to there being this kind of dumb people in San Diego. If I had to guess, this guy probably lived East County, a place I liked to joke was always like after dark, you would hear this, you know, the slight down, 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 down. It was the only place in the world I ever encountered skinheads against racial prejudice. So skinheads, who are known as Sharpies, they weren't racist. They were against racial prejudice, but my God, did they love shaving their head bald and wearing Dickies and Doc Martens and a lot of red and black. Very odd time in San Diego in the early 2000s, I will admit, but still, they were very funny people. Anyway, this unidentified San Diego man is a member of a group known as Loaded Guns Pointed at Penis or Penis. Obviously, that's an online thing for penis. The group is mainly to anger more responsible gun owners. They use the anger these more responsible gun owners with people sharing pictures of loaded guns pointed at their penises with fingers hovering over the trigger. So it's the B penis thing. Clearly it's a meme group. Clearly it's a fucking meme group here. But these guys point their guns at their own penises and they take a picture in order to like anger actual gun aficionados. They express terrible trigger discipline in order to be able to anger the people. Oh, that's fucking funny. Anyway, but this ballsy man's action cost him when he accidentally pulled the trigger. He posted a video of him to the group of himself holding a 1911 handgun to his junk before the gun discharged. So this dude had it on video of him shooting himself in the dick. Real Mr. Split Dick, if you think about it. Or maybe ballless. Who knows what happened just yet? We're going to find out probably. And then now he still posted it to the group. I would argue at that point in time, if you go that far, you might as well post the evidence, right? There's that old online saying of pics or it didn't happen. Well, now you got 30 frames a second, so fuck it, right? Now, initially, the man thought he only grazed himself, but he actually shot himself through an entry and an exit wound. According to Vice, he was treated for injuries at a hospital and then he went to work the next day. Now, I can only say for those of you out there who have testicles, and I'm sure like half of you out there listening probably have testicles, not more, probably more of you have testicles. You know how I almost said the fabric of the sack, right? The skin of the sack is very, there's not a lot of nerve endings there necessarily. The pain comes from the actual testicles, not the protective case. It seems to me like he shot through the protective case. Like he pierced his, you know, he used a 1911 handgun to pierce his ball sack. And then he went and got it sewn up and he went to work the next day. So really it's like, you know, the balls on this guy are pretty high. Now, other members of the group Loaded Guns Pointed at Venus have elevated the injured man to an admin of the group and feted him as king in numerous memes. Unfortunately, at this point, I can't find the video as it has, in fact, been deleted. Yeah, it's been deleted. Of course it's been deleted. All the good things on it. I mean, you know, it's archived somewhere. I could probably find it on LiveLeak. I could probably find it somewhere like that. Of course, I'm not going to right now because the fuck it. I didn't think about that ahead of time. And also, I don't want to get my channel taken down for all that. So there we go on that one right there. That's that to me is funny. That to me is hysterical. That to me is San Diego in a fucking nutshell. It is San Diego in an absolute nutshell. Ryan here saying, nope, fuck that shit. Kaiser Hertzen saying, 45 caliber gelding. Mitch says Kraut. Kraut and T is a YouTuber. He's a good friend of mine. And he is affectionately known on the internet as Split Dick. Because apparently there was an accident where he had hit his penis with a pickaxe at some point. At some point in time, he did that. So, you know, to him, I say, I'm sorry to hear that, you know. But yeah, this guy absolutely split his junk wide the fuck open. And that's funny. So those are the weird stories I wanted to cover today. And what I might do is I might just take those when I do the show. I might take those out and then just repackage them as the Stranger Days podcast for iTunes and everything else. That way people who may not want to listen to the full ranting of Boulder Talk Radio can just get some weird news, and I get to kill two birds in one stone because, quite frankly, I'm lazy and that's what I like to fucking do. So the phone line is now open, actually, if you guys want to call on in. What's the number here? The number is 323-207-0499. I see that we've got about 30 of you guys in here. So someone pick up the fucking phone, call, ask your questions. It's kind of an open chat. So whatever the hell's going on. Let's see here. So, all right. I'm looking at the chat right now. Do I give nicknames to my girls and to the cats? Yeah. I mean, everyone's got nicknames. You know, I think everyone at this point has got nicknames. So a lot of people out there are going to have that. And a lot of people, you know, I think, what is it? My daughter, I don't want to say the nickname because it's very close to her real name and I try to protect her identity. And the same with my younger daughter. It's the same way. At this point, I just have to do it. I just have to, you know, I should give them nicknames like thing one, thing two, but that's just mean. But it's just, I have to protect my kid's identity. You know, I got a cat named, you know, Gus. We call her Guster Butt. I have a cat named Chance. We call him Chancy Poo sometimes. Stupid things you say to cats, you know. So it is what it is. Actually, I might be having, let's make sure I have the ringer turned on. I might have the ring turned on. There we go. Okay. Okay, so if you tried calling, I had the do not disturb turned on. So it's up now. It's on now. You guys can call on it. So anyone wants to, feel free. If not, look at the chat. So let's see here. Yeah, Sergeant Trooper about the last guy going for the headshot. Well, we don't know if he shot himself in the head. It's possible that he shot the tip if he was uncircumcised. Again, he could have, you know, treated that bullet like a moil and just gone in there and, you know, took it off and everything. But I think he just shot himself in the ball sack. That's what I think he shot himself as. And he got it sewn up and he went back to work. But that's a guy, those people, man, like you gotta, I will, for one, if you're going to, I don't support the meme. It's funny. I don't support it though, because the way I look at it is, all right. Let me see here. I have the wrong, there we go. Okay. Hold on here. All right. There we go. I didn't know I had that turned on. All right. Hi, Mitch.
Matt.
Hey, how's it going, man? There we go. Now people can hear you. I didn't have the, I'm still figuring out this. It's all testing at this point in time. I'm trying to figure out everything.
Oh yeah, no problem. I was just wondering what you thought about the new Avengers game and how they're kind of pushing Miss Marvel.
You know. You know what, man? So like I haven't played it yet. I was going
to, it's not out yet, but
you can get the beta. If you pre-order
it, really?
You can get the beta. Yeah, I know it becomes open this weekend. They're doing the open beta this weekend. And I find it funny that they're doing the open beta this weekend, which is also during the DC fandom, you know? So it's like, it's kind of, I find that to be a little bit funny timing-wise, at least. I don't know if it's a coincidence. It could be coinkydink. It could be anything. I don't know. But I find it to be funny.
I'm sure they're fighting over everything.
But yeah, the Miss Marvel thing's kind of fascinating, isn't it?
Because that was a character made by the new CEO, right? So maybe she's just trying to get her like royalties in or whatever.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so on that one. I think in many cases what we see here, especially in this kind of situation, is that what you have is the synergy with the studio, right? That's a lot of what they want. So they want the synergy with the studio, and the studio very much wants to push Miss Marvel because Miss Marvel is going to be one of the Disney Plus shows, right? And so it's going to be a Disney Plus show, and then they're going to move Miss Marvel into I think Captain Marvel 2 is currently the rumor. So what better way to introduce the character of Kamala Khan to the mainstream by putting her as a main character in a video game based around the Avengers?
Yeah, I suppose. It's just, I don't kind of want to play as everyone else, but you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, well, hey, if you get a PlayStation, if you get a PlayStation 5, you can get you can get Spider-Man next year. And a lot of people are not happy about that. They're not happy about that at all. I was really kind of surprised. Overall about that. Personally, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm going to get a PS5, so it doesn't affect me, but, but I'm not a big fan ultimately of like that kind of content, exclusivity. I understand why it exists, but I'm not a huge fan of it. And, yeah. So I would like to see, more and more people actually kind of, you know, like be, I think I'd like to see studios not do this, but I understand why they pay the money for it, you know? And, but I, from everything I've seen involving the gameplay, it looks fun, but I've heard from some people, it's kind of a weird mix. It's not even really a mix, I should say. I've heard some people say it's terrible. It's god awful. It's disgusting. It's boring. And that's one extreme. And then the other extreme I hear is that, oh my God, it's like game of the year material. It's amazing. And I don't really hear anything in between. So I'm not like too sure. And like, I just, you know, I'm waiting for like that open beta. I don't like having to pre-order a game to get access to a fucking beta. You know, like, I just don't like that. Like, just let me, you know, like, let me play the fucking demo. Huh? Like, you know, the demos used to be a thing.
I definitely wait to see some gameplay footage of the beta even.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for that myself. I really want to see, like, you know, more of what people are saying about it. I know they did some, like, you know, there's a big war table, I think 18-minute presentation. I watched that, and it looks fun. You know, it's like, yeah, once you play through and unlock these characters, and clearly more characters are going to become available as time goes on. They've confirmed Spider-Man. They've confirmed Hawkeye. You know, I'm pretty sure we're going to get a bunch. And then you're going to be able to play as those characters and then interact in, like, you know, these scenarios. And, like, that's pretty cool. Like, it almost appears like they're building up this Avengers game as some kind of games as a service, which I don't like as much either. But that does seem to be where a lot of this shit is going.
Yeah, they'd have to have a good, like, hook to keep you in there.
Well, the hook is it's Marvel. That's the hook. You know, that's the...
Get a new character every couple of months.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's just like, you know, I mean, just wait for them to introduce fucking X-Men characters.
Oh yeah.
You know, just wait for them to go. The next up is going to be Wolverine. Everyone's going to be like, oh my God. 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 You know, or they go Blade or Moon Knight or She-Hulk or, you know, like Kraven the Hunter or Venom or whatever the fuck they want to do.
Even the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, bring it. There you go. Fantastic Four. They could bring in all these characters, turn this shit into like Lego Marvel. You eventually get access to all these characters. You could, you know, all this stuff. And like Captain Marvel is going to clearly pop in at some point in time. What if it's like Rocket Raccoon or Drax or Gamora or, you know, Peter Quill? What if you get Ant-Man gets to be in there at some point in time? Maybe the Wasp. I mean, They can do all of these things. And so it feels like Crystal Dynamics, who I do very much like as a studio. I feel like
their Tomb Raider stuff.
Yeah, the Tomb Raiders are a lot of fun. I feel like ultimately that's where they're going to be going with it, is they're going to be taking it to that direction. And, I mean, if the game is good, then people will fucking play it.
Yeah. Well, so we just got to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, that's what we're definitely have to wait and see. Hopefully it will be pretty good. I have noticed a couple more calls have come in, so I'm going to let you go, man. Thank you very much for calling on. And first call for Boulder Talk Radio. Do you like the name? Because I think the name's silly, but it's funny.
It works.
It works.
Majestic
it works.
Matt, too.
Majestic. Yeah, fuck. That's, Majestic Matt. That's pretty funny. I haven't been called anything really that nice in a couple of years. So it's nice to hear. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a good one. To call in again. Definitely 100%. Thank you very much.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Thank you to Mitch for calling on in. So I did see a couple more that popped in. If you guys want to call back, the line is now open. I think we got one. It's, I see a 701 and a 451 area code have also called in. So feel free to shoot one back. First one in wins it. Let's see here. A cat says the name is good. I appreciate that. I like the name. I like the logo too. I have a lot of fun with the logo. I kind of came to me real quick last night and I just rolled with it. I'm going to get a better artist to work on it. We'll get it updated and everything else. Cause I suck at Photoshop, but I think that turned out all right. Let us see what else is going on in the chat right now. Euodius says, when you talk about the guy getting his sack shot, I recall a particular show episode where the female character grabs someone's testicles. That's happened a bunch in movies. You know, I mean, guys' balls are generally like not treated with any kind of respect. They're just punching bags. Like literally. Starship Trooper says, had a few cases where fool or suspect that did shoot it off, pulled the hand. Oh, we're talking about blowing off your dick. Pulled the handgun out of their pants. The best was a guy called himself half-ass Jerome. He lost one cheek in an MC accident. I'm sorry, motorcycle accident. Got dragged down. Oh, that's fucked up, dude. Yeah, you got to be careful. Got to be careful where you put that shit. All right, we got another call coming in here as soon as it pops up on my screen. I got the notification, but nothing has popped up just yet. So let's give it a second here. Is that they might have hung up? Call back again. It was there. I don't know what the hell's going on. Wait, hold on here. I'm still trying to figure out the settings. That's my bad. Let me turn off Do Not Disturb. There we go. All right. Let me turn that off. Okay. Calls. I'm still trying to, for some reason, this is not doing what I need it to do. So call, feel free to shoot another one in and, okay. Yeah. Okay. I had the Do Not Disturb turn on accidentally. All right. 451. You're on. What's going on, man?
Oh, hey, can you hear me? All right.
Yeah, I can. Sorry. I think I had the wrong setting set and it was like sending people to voicemail, right. I think.
No, that's okay. I'm calling from Australia, so it's like all sorts of interference issues.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I'm actually shadow banned on your channel, but I've always left relatively positive comments. I'm not sure why, but
what's your handle?
CBP channel. I'm also known loosely as Coach Black Pill. I'm a small channel. I've got about 16,000 subs. I don't know. I'm kind of like, I'm around, but not really kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I've seen you. I don't think you're shadow banned. I have to have a pretty aggressive comment filter. I have to, but I do read all the comments. The problem is, and this is just how fucked YouTube is. I do a lot of it from my phone. But the problem, though, is a lot of the comments that come in through the hidden replies on the phone, there's a lot more on the actual website. And so if I don't get to it right away, if I don't check it right away, I just don't see it. So it's not – I've seen you before. I think I've seen you comment before.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. The same thing happens to me. Occasionally, I get comments like, "Why are you deleting my comment? This is the fifth time you've deleted my comment." And I'm like, "Dude, if I didn't want you commenting on my channel, you would have already been shadow banned." So
Yeah.
it's like, yeah, I think it plays out. But I wanted to talk like really briefly about the Gump, if you're up for it. Not,
Yeah,
I
why
mean, I
not? Fuck
know.
it. Why not? Fuck it. We'll have fun with
Yeah,
this.
exactly. Fuck it. I mean, who cares? Like, he's probably not even gonna see it. He's probably in
I,
a
well,
Trump
here's the thing.
right now.
Here's the thing. I'll be honest with you on this front here. If the Gunt hears this, he's a pussy. All right. So, and I say that because he's publicly said he will not come on a stream solo with me. He won't do it. He won't do it
Why
solo.
not?
Because he's afraid. The last time we had an interaction on stream, the big interaction that everyone fucking knows about, it was him and like five other people. It was as close to like was it the poor little white boy, fucking that one meme. You've ever seen that meme? Like it's the gay porno with like the one white dude, like
No,
the.
no, I haven't, but I know that's his style because he did it to Pod Awful. He did it to everybody, basically. Whenever he would try and go up against somebody, he would always have his entourage. He would always have
Yeah.
Darnley and all the others. He needs
Yeah.
the soundboard. He needs Gator. He needs all of the cackling going on because
Yeah.
one-on-one, he would get blown the fuck out. I mean, he went up against Vosh, who was barely even like awake, and he got blown the fuck out.
Oh
So
yeah, I
yeah, he's
heard
not
that.
really good on one. Oh, you should watch it. It's really
No,
funny.
no,
I
I
watched
saw oh
the
no,
whole
I saw
thing
it
on.
live. I saw it live. I saw it live. I was out doing deliveries and I tuned in and I watched it live and I was laughing my ass off because of course, what does he resort to? Doxing and then the N-word. You know,
Yeah,
I
pretty
feel like
much.
I should send him a polar bear puppet, maybe make it a little bit easier for him.
I've never interacted with him. He doesn't know who I am, and I'm hopefully that stays that way because I really don't give a shit. I've never said anything. As far as I'm concerned, you know, I don't, you know, not, nothing to do with me. But I just wanted to make a piece of analysis, and then I'll get off and I'll let you keep talking. But here's my hot take, right? Not really a hot take, but here's my piece of analysis about this. If you go back 2 years ago when he was. Because that's how I found out about you. That's how I found out about, because I was not around during like the 2014 to 2017 period. I didn't know who Metaphor was. I didn't know who the Killstream was. I didn't know who the Skeptics were. I barely even knew who the alt-right was. I just knew, like, I'd barely heard of the alt-right through the mainstream. But I remember about 2 years ago, I was up on YouTube at like 10 o'clock at night Australia time, and a video popped up in my recommended. I think it was from The Quartering. It was like, you should apologize, something, something. I was like, oh, what's the, you know, who's this guy? I clicked on the video, and it was about some YouTuber who had fucked up and done some stream where he exposed himself, and it actually kind of drew me in. And I don't know how it happened, but I got drawn to the full live stream, right? The actual unedited live stream, and I found it captivating. And from then on, I've been like, you know, I've been a spectator, not a commenter, but I've been a spectator, just kind of watching in from the outside. And now I know it like a piece of history. But what I wanted to say is, if you go back and look at the Gunt during that period, what made me actually like him initially is that he took the high ground. He's like, you know, I don't have a problem with you, man. There is no beef between us. And I have a feeling that some people, when they're doing well for themselves, water flows off the duck's back. You know, they don't tend to be hateful. They don't tend to be vindictive. But when that same person who has no hint of revengefulness in their character, when they sink to the bottom, when they're only pulling in, you know, one-tenth of their previous YouTube numbers or DLive numbers, all of these hidden personality traits come out. And that was probably what happened to you. You probably didn't even think about flagging people in 2015 because, you know, you were racing towards 100K subs. You were doing well. Things were looking up and up. You looked forward every day to it. And the idea of flagging some idiot who called you names on YouTube wouldn't have even, like, entered into your head. But I think what happened with you is that your channel kind of went into like a bit of a slumber where you were getting like 5, 10,000 views per video, and you were doing okay, but you weren't really rocking it. And that's where all of your kind of like your vindictiveness came out. And I have those same personality traits. We all have them. It's nothing
Sure.
to be
Yeah.
ashamed of. You've just got to mitigate them as best you can, really.
Yeah.
And you know what I was also thinking is that now that Ralph is down in the dump, now that he's an alcoholic, all of the things that he attacked you for having have now come to the surface. He had those traits all along. So he was really kind of conning everybody back in the day where he pretended to be the chilled out host. And I remember when he's like, oh, when someone makes a response video to me, I get off on it because it's like more attention for me. That was all fake. He actually is thin-skinned and hates it. But back then he could handle it, you know. But nowadays, all of those hidden personality traits have come out. You know what I'm saying?
No, I completely agree with you. And you're not, your analysis isn't entirely wrong. But you have to understand this. It wasn't, I never really cared about the view count necessarily. Like a lot of people care about the view count or the sub count and shit like that. Like I never really cared about the view count. Because I realized that I approached a lot of things a little differently. I'm more of like an Occam's razor, middle of the road kind of guy. And 2016, so you figure Gamergate 2014, how all that shit ramped up in 2015 and 2016 to the election. It was a pretty big meteoric rise, you know, for me. I almost cleared like 70 grand in 2016. It was a good fucking year, you know, and then it started to taper off in 2017 because of the apocalypse and a lot of the other bullshit. What got me, and I'll just be honest with you here, what really got me was the reason why Tonka started coming after me every fucking day was because we had a disagreement over his initial hatred of a guy named Jeff Holliday. I didn't know why Tonka was mad at Jeff Holliday. I had no idea. So when he was raging to me about it, all I said was like, dude, just let it the fuck go. Like, just let it fucking go. Like, who cares? I didn't know what it was. I didn't know about this supposed doxing server, which is bullshit. I didn't know about any of this stuff. I literally just like woke up and ended up just kind of walking into this minefield that I had no fucking idea of. And that I'm a stubborn bastard. So it's like these guys started attacking me. These guys like a week ago were my friends. 2 weeks earlier, we were having private conversations on Discord almost fucking nightly. And then they threw me under a bus and they started attacking me daily. Tonka took the, you know, the wrestling approach to this and he turned me into his heel. Right. And he would attack me every day. He'd play the video clip of me crying over getting the play button every single day. So I'd wake up in the morning and I'm already sleep deprived because I just had a new baby that I'm the, you know, that I look after in the daytime. So I'm already fucking sleep deprived. And so I wake up in the morning and I just start getting like nothing but fucking hatred on Twitter, like every fucking day. And then it just kept ramping up with Andy Worski. And then eventually, you know, Ralph got out of jail and he was humble at first. He was really humble when he got out of jail. And then later on his bitterness came back out. And you were right about your assessment there. But that's how a lot of it kind of transpired and whatnot. So you're right. I never once thought about flagging anybody in 2014, you know, and I don't even think about flagging people now. You know, I don't care anymore. It's like, I mean, people like they made up these random numbers in their head and they still run these false narratives about things I've said or things I've done. And it's like, look, I'm never going to be able to change anyone's mind over any of that shit. So I'm done trying. Like, think of me what you fucking will. I don't care. I laugh at Ralph because, you know, you can think what, and there was a guy today, I shit you the fuck not. I don't know if you follow me on Twitter. But there is this guy today.
No, I don't have Twitter.
It's probably for the best. It's a fucking dumpster fire. But there's this guy on Twitter who's like a verified account. I don't know what the fuck's his name. I was just actually like looking at it a second ago. His name is Spain Killer, right? He does like Pokemon videos. I don't know. He's a smaller former Pokemon champion. I don't fucking know. So I did a Twitter video calling out Ralph over this revenge porn thing. I'm like, how can you demand accountability from others, i.e. me, right? And not own up to the fact that you drunkenly posted revenge porn last week. And we all saw you do it. It's live on fucking camera. We saw you do it. And then all the denial and then just like the lies by omission. Well, this guy comes in and he's just like, well, you're as big of a piece of shit as he is. You know? And I'm like, the fuck?
Like, nah, no, fucking... I wouldn't say that at all.
Not at all. But this guy, like, he's like attacking me for it. He's saying you're as big of a piece of shit as Ralph, blah, blah, blah. So he's turned his back on Ralph, apparently. He's now anti-Gunt because of what Ralph did, from my understanding. So then somebody was looking through this guy's tweets. And a couple of weeks ago, Ralph and Andy Worski were running their fucking mouth trying to accuse me of pedophilia for like the fucking 20th time over some bullshit. And this dude's in the comment section on Twitter egging him on like, oh, this is going to be great, blah, blah, blah. When Ethan illegally wiretapped me, this guy's out there cheering him the fuck on for it, you know? And I'm just like, and
yeah, that's like the lowest thing on the internet. If they've got nothing else, it's like, oh, calling people a cuck and a pedophile is like the two things that if you've got really nothing on them, that's just the angle that you go to. And to be fair, they kind of, I think those two have also been accused of pedophilia. It's like, okay, maybe they were just like fucking around on a stream and they maybe went too far. So, but yeah, that's pretty much internet 101 is just call people a pedophile.
Yeah.
And if you can't prove it, just like try and clutch draws and everything. No, you're right. I had actually forgotten about all that with all of that drama back then with it. And to be fair, there's actually something at the time that I've always kind of thought this. Now, in reality, you shouldn't have flagged, okay?
You're 100% right.
But at the same time, if you look at YouTube's current, and I'm not sure if they were around then because I wasn't on YouTube, but if you look at their current bullying and harassment policies, it actually does fall under it. You're not allowed to send people over to a video to mass dislike it anymore. You're not allowed to call people all of the things that Dame says about you in his comments. It is actually bullying and harassment, I think. I'm not sure. I have to look that up. I don't care. If someone did it to me, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't flag them. And neither should have you, so it's fine. And whatever, who cares? It was years ago. But what's ironic is that it actually was, in a sense, bullying and harassment. Maybe not harassment, but at the same time, it was kind of in a...
I don't know. Calling someone repeatedly a pedophile and repeatedly doing it, I'd call that eventually, you know, not a joke and not a one-off. I'd call that pretty fucking harassing because you're attempting to spread a narrative.
I mean, it wouldn't have done any good because you would have been in trouble either way. But if you'd have kind of owned up from the start, like, yeah, I flagged this guy. He's violating TOS. Like, yeah, he called me a faggot. He called me a... Sorry to swear on your channel, but...
That's fine.
He called me the quote F-slur, he called all of these different words. It's like, yeah, and they still would have roasted you for it. And again, maybe quite rightly, but at the same time, you actually had a case to be made, but there was no way you could have thought about that at the time because, you know, you were just kind of put on the spot. But I just thought about it like a year later. I was like, you know, once I started making videos myself and I looked at the terms of service and I was like, huh, you know, they did actually violate. They actually did kind of commit bullying and harassment against you to a degree.
Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is there's so much in YouTube that is bullying and harassment. And the thing is, like, and I called this last year when they updated the terms of service over the matter. It was when the James Charles situation happened, when he was accused of sexual assault by Toddy Westbrook. And if you haven't followed that situation, I don't blame you. That's, you know, it's all makeup channel drama and shit. But anyway, it ended up being it ended up being false. It ended up being not true. And, you know, like the thing was, is just days before this allegation happened, James Charles was at the Met Gala in New York with Susan fucking Wojcicki. So I'm like, you all fucked up. Like, you all fucked up. If you're going to sit there and go after a dude who's personal friends with the CEO of the fucking website that you use to make your millions of dollars a year, then you all had better fucking hit your mark. And I'm like, changes came. I predicted it. Changes fucking came because YouTube was like looking at that and they're going like, we can't have this anymore. And I kind of was proven right because during the YouTube rewind, the James Charles, I think it was, I forget the name of the video, but his response to it was like one of the most watched videos. I think it was the most liked video of the year or something. You know, like it was one of those ones where they prominently fucking featured it because they wanted to make sure that like they knew. And so, yeah, I mean, YouTube's evolving, Twitter's evolving, Facebook's evolving. And a lot of the really disingenuous, assholey people that just want to like cause problems and be as big a jerk as humanly possible without ever facing any consequences for their actions are getting booted off. But I will fully admit that there are a lot of other people who might just be dicks who are also getting booted off. And I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I think that, you know, you have a right to be a cocksucker. I may not like you, but you have a right to have your opinion and be a dick about it and nothing I can do. And there's nothing I should be able to do, you know? And so, but there are people out there that do maliciously attack others and spread all these fake rumors. So it's kind of this weird, jumbled mess of a situation. And YouTube is looking to effectively try and mitigate that. But they're almost going to be unable to because there's so much shit that's there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And like the thing is about with YouTube is a lot of these guys, I made a video about it. And of course it got freaking like disliked into oblivion, but I didn't give a shit because it's true. A lot of these channels, they are right wing, but they are also into like blood sports and everything. And they get banned and they're like, YouTube hates right wingers. And I'm like, I actually do believe that there is a disincentivized algorithm for right-wing content now and since about early 2009, since about the time that AllSip got kicked off. I feel like YouTube has maybe algorithmically disincentivized conservative content to a degree, but there's a lot of conservative channels like those guys, the Hodge twins, now have a channel called the Conservative Twins. They've got almost, I think they've got over 1 million subs, or close to 1 million subs.
Yeah.
And they've skyrocketed doing conservative content because they don't, because they're not into internet blood sports. They're not into, like, insulting people. They're not into violating terms. So it's like this whole conspiracy that YouTube hates right-wingers is, and that they're trying to prevent Trump from getting reelected. It's not based in reality. It's that left-wingers, on average, are less likely to violate TOS, which is why they're less likely to get banned. But these guys, I heard Medeker going on about, he's like, oh, it's a big conspiracy to prevent, they learned the first time back in 2016 that we can't let Trump get elected again. So, and Medeker is like, I predicted this, they were going to start censoring people after 2016. I'm like, it's motivated mostly by the advertisers. YouTube and Alphabet, do you really think they sit around worrying about who gets elected into office? They don't care. They're motivated by money. So they try and get rid of people that pose a threat to the advertisers because, you know, the advertisers don't want to be associated with the types of stuff that the alt-right and the alt-light are more likely to do. So that's what it's all about. It's not some grand conspiracy to get rid of Trump. I mean, I'm sure that the people over at YouTube might not like Trump, but it's not like they would risk, you know, millions or billions of dollars just because of some esoteric political agenda. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't know how else might work out, but if that's not going to work out at all. I was bringing up a display capture. I'm looking at a Tube Filter article from literally 4 days ago. YouTube reinstates monetization for Steven Crowder 14 months after his harassment of Carlos Maza, however you want to view that situation. They say here, the title here says racist homophobic harassment, but that's Tube Filter. That's their leaning. Fucking Crowder is a big player. 2 million subs. You know, it's a big player. He gets a lot of people watching. He'll go live. He'll have like 300,000 people watching him live. You know, I mean, the Young Turks have about 3-4 million subs. They go live. They maybe get like 15-16,000 people watching him. You know, the amount of attention that Crowder gets, and a lot of these other conservatives, they get it too. But the thing is, though, a lot of the conservative commentators end up going too far, and they end up burning themselves out. Or they, you know, look at like Milo Yiannopoulos. He went on all these tours. Yeah. He was, you know, well known, and then he made a couple dumb comments on a podcast, well, you know, late night show, and ended up getting fucking booted, you know, from CPAC, and then his entire career died. Now he's $2 million in debt, last we heard. And I think he's in Milwaukee this weekend for like the Better Discourse fucking event, which is just MythCon.
He's really fallen from grace. He's a nothing now. No one even thinks about him. And also you can't, I don't want to discredit the cancel culture on the far left because it definitely does exist.
Oh yeah, no,
and
it
like,
definitely
a lot of these
exists.
Guys do get screwed over. Like I'm not trying to, you know, cuck for the left because they do a lot of bad stuff. I was just making a point before that a lot of these right wing guys do violate it. But yeah, you're right. And Milo, I barely even follow him. There's a troll YouTuber called Catboy Cammy. I've actually spoken with him. He's actually quite cool.
Oh, I'm familiar with Catboy Cammy. I've seen the clips.
He lives like two blocks away from me. It's quite funny. I've seen him on the train like twice, but I didn't know, he wasn't dressed in his weird anime. So I was like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to like sit 10 feet behind him and just see what he's up to. But it's quite funny. Just the other day, Catboy Cammy did a stream with Milo Yiannopoulos, and I'm like, and I could see Milo, and I was like, take away Milo's like public build, you know, take away the stage, take away the audience. He comes across as this like mentally ill person, like sitting in like a bunker somewhere, just like he, you realize that he has the intelligence of like any other internet troll. So I wasn't around, again, I only paid attention to that part of YouTube from about 2018 onwards, honestly, from about your shit time happened. So I didn't follow his big meteoric rise to fame, but looking at the archives of it, I'm like, the guy's just a troll, and you see him today and he's just a nothing. It's sad, really.
Yeah, well, it is. It's pretty funny. Like I remember after he had his falling out and he went back to the Milo channel and he was trying to play it up, trying to build all this stuff up, and he got this set, you know, where he was in like a throne and he was trying to play like the over the top Milo character. And I think by that point in time, a lot of that audience had just left him. A lot of that audience had just walked away. And, you know, I mean, look, I understand fully what it's like for an audience to walk away. You know, I get all that. But it's like with Milo, he just kind of kept going with the gimmick. and he brings it back more when he's trying to get something, you know, and it just goes to show you like how disingenuous he is. You know, there was he was on the Gunt show a while back and, you know, held up this hard drive. And he's like, I've got everything I need on anyone on this drive. I got recordings. I got emails. I got everything. And then not long after that was that Richard Spencer audio that leaked out from Charlottesville. And the rumor is that Milo's the one that leaked it. And then now there's rumors that Milo's a fucking Fed. You know, there's a ton of rumors they're true. I don't follow any of that shit anymore, but it wouldn't surprise me knowing his legal troubles and knowing his financial troubles, you know, get a little bit of help here and there. I mean, it is what it is. I don't know. I've talked to Milo before one time. He was very nice to me when we spoke back in 2014. He was not in character. So maybe it's all just an act and it's just one that's blew up in his face. And again, I know how that shit can blow up in your face. So we'll have to just wait and
see. Totally.
You know, I mean, yeah, like these situations are crazy and people will end up taking them one way or another. You know, as we go into this, and YouTube especially is going to start cracking down more. But here's the problem. As YouTube cracks down more, you start to see the response to it ramp up. And the response to it is always, it's always like the let's go harder to prove our point. And then YouTube
is still work.
It's not going to work. It's kind of like gambling, right? The house always wins. YouTube is always going to find a way to win. If you want to play it on this platform, just don't say certain things or do certain things, but they give you leeway in a lot of areas. They really do. You know, I'm free to say fuck as much as I want. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, but it's like just because here's the thing, the algorithm, and I've talked to Google engineers about this. I've traveled to a bunch of different training sessions and I've asked them, I'm all like, so how do you determine which videos are monetizable or not? And they've said, well, really what it boils down to is like our machine learning can determine, even if you're not on camera. So like if you're on camera, it can look at your facial reaction and it can analyze your facial reaction. If you're happy, smiling, angry, mad, it can analyze all of that. And it can tell you if you're swearing, it can identify which words you're using, the severity of the words and or terms you are using. And here's the scariest thing. It can determine generally who you are aiming that at.
Yeah, I believe that. I totally believe that. I've seen it with my own eyes. For example, there are channels like I mentioned Vosh before, right? He's an edgy left wing content creator, and he will quote the most racist sentiments about the JK. I'm not even gonna repeat them on your channel because the algorithm can technically hear what I'm saying on your channel. I'm not even gonna repeat them, but he would make things that are absolute violate TOS, but he would say them ironically when impersonating what he calls a chud, like a right winger, right? And that video would have ads at the beginning. And my theory is, and I know he's not big enough because he actually only had not that many subs not that long ago, and it was happening back then. And I realized, and I'd heard those what you'd said about the algorithm, and I realized what's going on is that the algorithm can determine that he's being facetious, that he's quoting. And I was like, man, that thing is smart. The fact that he can drop F-bombs, he can drop J, the letter J, you know, J-E-W, he can drop those bombs, all that sort of stuff on his channel, and it gets monetized. But then I've seen people who are not being ironic, and they'll do little dog whistles, you know, they'll do those little hints about, and they'll use euphemisms, and they get demonetized or get the video, they get that 1 week ban. So yeah, that algorithm, man, it's super clever. And there are certain topics that are considered like borderline content, like MGTOW or alt-right and everything. And if you make a video where you criticize that that philosophy or that movement, the algorithm will put it at the top of the search result, even if your channel is very small and not in good standing. So it can't have been done by a human. So the algorithm is that smart. But I'm going to let you go because I'm taking up your stream in a minute. But I just wanted to make a quick point, if I may, about about you and your career. Can I do that?
by all means.
I don't mean to sound like on my high horse because there's nothing more obnoxious than someone who, because you're bigger than, you're 10 times bigger than I'll ever be on YouTube. So
I'm no one anymore, dude. You know, like,
well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I view Mog you per video, but you subscriber Mog me into a black hole. Mogging is because I'm part of like the, I'm from like the manosphere kind of incel-y part of YouTube where we use these terms like mog, which means like one up somebody. I view mog you, but you subscriber mog me into oblivion. And I wanted to make a quick point about your history on YouTube. I think that in a sense you fell into a trap. You and Kraut and everything. Kraut dug himself out of it beautifully. I love Kraut. Same thing with you. Yeah, he made some mistakes back in the day. He spurged out, but that's just like a flaw of the ego. Like, it wasn't that big a deal what he did to that girl. I wasn't around back in 2017, but retroactively, I know every little detail about it. And it's like, you know, mildly immoral, but that's not the point I wanted to make. The point I wanted to make is I look at these channels on the left, right, the ones that are kind of like BreadTube, and they will get themselves into so much trouble that their audience will forgive them if they do a heartfelt apology and say, hey, look, I screwed up, you know, I sent inappropriate messages to a fan, we slept together, I was out of, all this stuff they confess to, and their audience will forgive them. But one of the things that you guys did in the skeptic community is you fell into a trap where you kind of appealed to the same group of people that the right appealed to, Medicare, Sargon, who's more... Sargon is intrinsically right-wing. I mean, he's got a right-wing brain.
He totally is.
But guys like you and Kraut, who are not right-wing, you're not psychological. I know I'm using a little bit of pseudoscience here, but you are psychologically not on the right. You might have laughed at some Tumblrettes back in 2014, but you are not on the political right intrinsically, and you're just not drawn to that type of reactionary thinking. I can analyze people pretty well, and I know that you're not intrinsically like that, and neither is Kraut. Neither is Shoe on Head. But you guys fell into a trap is that you found the numbers and the support from the right wing when you made legitimate criticisms of the left, you know, the SJ. Because, you know, I consider myself to be way to the left. Yet I look at, I look at those SJW cringe compilations and I cringe in horror at, you know, the feminists and the blue hair and the safe spaces and did you just assume my gender? I cringe at that too, right? But yeah. I consider myself ideologically to be on the left. And you guys, you know, made fun of them. And you got all of that right-wing audience that came on board. Yep. And I imagine that for many years, you guys probably, and you might not admit to it, but you probably lived in fear of, like, offending them. And you would say, hey, look, I respectfully disagree with the W national. I mean, I'm not going to say it, but the alt-right sentiments about ethno-states. That you would publicly... say, hey, I don't agree with that. But deep down, you knew that a lot of those people were still watching you, that a lot of those diehard Trump supporters.
Yeah.
But what happened is that you fell into a trap. And the point that I'm leading to with this big spiel, those people are not forgiving. Those people, most of them are freaking trolls, man. They will turn on you in a heartbeat. If you screw up, they won't have you back. Unlike the left audience, unlike the more kind of liberal TYT-style audience, the Vosh-style audience, the BreadTube, with those guys right there, you can screw up and they'll have you back because they're a lot more legitimate in what they really believe. But you fell into the trap of appealing to a group of people who were always out to cut your throat. They were waiting, you know, they were always with Dom A. Pesos. Back when you were getting 30,000-40,000 views on a standard video, those were always Dom A. Pesos fans, okay? They were never really with you. They just thought that you were one of them for a while. And when they discovered that you weren't, they were already kind of hooked on your content, but they were waiting to abandon you. So you and Kraut and everything, you guys all fell into a trap. Luckily, Kraut escaped. He's doing fantastically now. I think, honestly, and this is my final point, and I'll leave your stream and let you talk to someone else, but I think that your channel is pretty screwed. I think that you'd be honestly better off just start a new channel and start from scratch. And I know you've done that several times. It hasn't worked out, but...
It's funny you say that. See, yeah. For one, I'm okay. I get that. Like I've analyzed as much as I can analyze with how YouTube works. So I get where things are, and I get how bad the algorithm is. This channel is algorithmically fucked. Like that is like flat out. I've talked to YouTube's creative team, and they're like they said the exact same thing. They go, you might as well just start over again. The problem with that, though, is those trolls will then follow me to the next place. So and then they just they keep it from growing there. So I'm better off where I'm at right now. However, things are different now than they were 2 years ago, 100%. Most of the people have moved the fuck on. And a lot of people, especially in recent weeks with me kind of coming out and pushing back a little bit on some of this shit. There's been a few more people that were like, oh, I had this impression of you that clearly isn't what I thought. And, you know, and I've gotten some apologies, and I'm not even really about a redemption arc or trying to get back. Because here's the thing, dude, you're 100% right, dude. I can pinpoint the exact moment I realized that I was in I was in some bad shit. And it was actually before the apocalypse. It was in February 2017. I was in San Diego, and I forget the exact video. It was something about some hostage thing. I don't know. I was criticizing Trump. He had just been inaugurated. I was criticizing Trump. And it was a whole bunch of fucking, you know, dislikes and what the fuck and all this shit. And it dawned on me as I was down there visiting family and friends that I'm like, holy shit, I've developed this right wing audience. You know, like, holy shit, I got a bunch of these. Because, I mean, at the end of 2016, you know, I'm making between $300 and $500 a fucking day. Right. And because of the election and because of the holiday season and everything else. And I was like being more fair to Donald Trump than a lot of other people. I'm like, oh, I'll give the guy a shot type thing. And then I was criticizing him and people were like freaking the hell out over it. So, I when the apocalypse hit in April of 2017, I did say, I'm like, you know, I'm going to move to just doing movie based content on this channel. And I'm just going to stick with that. But the problem, though, is at that time, I just bought a house and my girlfriend just quit her job where she was making a lot of fucking money. And we found out she was pregnant. And at that moment, I was fucking afraid. I was frightened for the next few months, I was frightened because I'm like, all of a sudden now I'm like, holy shit, I own this. I own property. I've got a kid on the way. I'm now the primary breadwinner of my family. What the fuck am I going to do? You know, like we only have, like, it was like everything all at once. I wasn't expecting it. It all kind of hit at once. So instead of following my gut, which was to go work on the movie thing, what I did is I went, oh, we got some notification here. I can't see what it is. Hold on a second. I appreciate that. But I ended up creating Three Buck Theater and running both channels concurrently, which then just dragged me into the fucking ground. I'm doing 6 videos a day. You know, that's a lot of fucking content. And it's not, I can do it. I have it all usually pretty well worked out. You know, I can make it work. I have, you know, systems in place to make it work easier, but still the grind and the grind and the grind and the grind. And then you have the apocalypse on top of it. And it started to just weigh me down and bog me down and make me not happy and make me really think some bad thoughts. And it just, I was depressed all that summer. And and then you get to the end of 2017, and then all the shit went down with Worski and Crow and Tonka, and then all the blood sports stuff kind of picked up for 2018. And then, of course, there's the summer of 2018. So it was this massive, like, nonstop situation where, like, I didn't know what the fuck to do. I was literally just trying to, like, hold the fuck on. You know what I mean? You're right. Yeah. So you're right. You're 100% accurate. I've known that for a long time, and I've talked about that before, which is why I don't mind. I'll tell people, I fucking unsubscribe, fucking leave. I'm not too worried about it. It's not that I don't. Oh, thank you very much, Mitch, for the $5 super chat. We'll get to that here in a second. I don't mind all that because it's like I know that eventually, if they all leave, then for one, I'll be happier. Two, I'll be in a position to
start a new channel and they won't be there to harass you.
Don't have to start a new channel specifically. I just have to get down under 100,000 subs. Once you go under 100,000 subs, yeah, the algorithm starts to promote you to more people. The algorithm, once you cross over 100,000, it doesn't recommend you to as many new people. In fact, there's about a 60-40 split or a 70-30 split. So when you're under 100,000, it will start recommending you to 70% more new people versus 30% of your audience. When you hit 100,000, it flips it to where now it's recommending your content more to your core audience who subscribe to get you to 100,000 and 30% of new people who don't see your stuff. Kraut did well because he got nailed under 100,000 subs. He got down to 91,000 subs.
Thinking about that. Yeah, totally. And I remember because Kraut knows who I am very loosely. He actually offered to come on Discord with me, but my Discord wasn't working. I wanted to have a nice conversation with the guy, but I said to him when he had 92,000 subs, I said, keep making, because it was just after he did the China video, and he had 92K subs. And I said, dude, that documentary was really amazing. Just keep making these videos, and you never know. And I don't even know if he saw the comment, but I didn't think about the guy for a couple of weeks. And I came back, and he was at like 94K subs. I was like, oh, what's going on? And I saw the video had gotten algorithm views, not like his core audience, because I'd seen the video tap out at what he had then, about 30,000 views. And I was like, okay. But I came back a couple of weeks later, it was like 90,000 views with 2,000 new subs. And I was like, hang on a second, the algorithm is promoting him. And that's a huge thing. That's everything, is that promotion, that browse features and suggested videos. That's everything on YouTube, if you're not like a celebrity. And I saw it. And to this day, it slowed down a bit for him, but to this day, it's still pumping his videos through the algorithm. And he's about to pass his nemesis, Coach Redfield. In a few months, he'll be past CRP. CRP talks so much shit about him. He's like, you know, Kraut's more and more in my rearview mirror. I'm dancing on his grave at this point. And fucking Coach demonetized, sitting in his Ukrainian bunker with his, you know, his Ukrainian trad wife, ranting and raving about the feminazis. You know, no one cares about him anymore. And Kraut, like, kicking dirt in his face. It's pretty funny. But
no, Kraut, he's done really well. I'm really proud of him. Yeah. So there's a lot there.
Finally,
yeah. Sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, no, what I was going to say is but you're in trouble, though, because you're at 124K subs, and they're not leaving. Like, most of those subs, I don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on, but they're just not getting the notifications. Like, it's either people that have logins, but they've not checked them in years. So if they log in, they're going to get, you know, 999-plus, you know, notifications. Or it's people who are still active, but because they've not commented in so long, because they've not disliked in so long, they're just not getting a notification.
Most people also watch through mobile, for one, and so on mobile devices, you really only look at your home screen. You don't really go to your subscription screen. So they start you on your home screen, which is where most people look at the content. So yeah, they're not being shown that, and then they're not going to their subscription feed. But the more watch time you get, the more YouTube will start to promote it. And so doing more of these long form things actually starts to raise the watch time. And I've noticed that, like, I've gotten a few more subs. People, you know, I still lose, and I don't mind the loss. I appreciate anyone who's watching. I think we've jumped up to like 43 people right now, 40 people. It just, you know, it's fluctuating. I appreciate everyone being here. Mitch, thank you very much for the $5 super chat. You know, like, it's, I appreciate it, but I'm not where I'm at right now in my own life. How much I just picked up a third job working with the United States Census Bureau. So I'm doing that for the next couple months. I still do the Uber deliveries because we're in a pandemic. I'm making about $30 an hour on that. I don't necessarily need YouTube as much. In fact, it's no longer my primary source of income. It's something I just like to do. So doing this, you know, Boulder talk radio thing, the idea behind it is just like, let's just have conversations like you and I are having conversations. Other people, you know, I mean, there's been a couple calls that have come in since that I can see. You know, and so it's like,
I can hit off the view.
Yeah,
I haven't spoken to you before, and I've been following the saga for a couple of years now, and I'd always just wanted to discuss this stuff with you. So it's really good to have a chat with you.
No, I'm a very approachable person. Most people don't realize that. I'm a super approachable person. I have a really decent sense of humor, and I'm actually really fucking humble. I'm not that much of an asshole. The thing is like, 2 years ago, people got this idea of me based upon a massive mistake. And then a lot of people took that and they ran with it and they created this narrative that I'm some kind of horrible monster. I'm just a terrible human being. And I get told that literally daily, still 2 years later, daily. People make misconceptions about me and say it to me in comment sections or tweets or whatever. I've just, look, you can never make it go away, right? It's like depression. It's like anxiety. You just have to manage it is all you can fucking do. It took me a long time to get to that point. It took me therapy to get there. It took me medication to get there. It took me having another kid to get there. There's a lot there. I'm a lot different of a person than I was 2 years ago.
That's the right thing to do, honestly.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would say earning full-time income from an actual real job, and just even if you can't upload every day, I'm pretty much a part-time worker, part-time wage cut, part-time business. So I don't rely on YouTube. So I treat it as if it does well, it does well. If it doesn't do well, I've only been making videos for 9 months, so I'm not big time at all. But I'm thinking to myself, one day if I'm walking around with a big audience and it becomes like a big source of income, that's awesome. But I would never have that notion that it's ever going to be anything to do with my income. And I understand a few years ago, there was a real future in it. But nowadays, the only time you really want to use YouTube is if you're massive already, or if it's a window to your business. YouTube.
And that's actually that business. That's what I'm doing next. Is some things are in the, I have some prospects that I'm not talking about publicly yet, that have been coming up, some potential decent jobs, writing content for some stuff, and then also running some multimedia stuff. And that's fine. Look, I'm never going to walk away from YouTube. People have tried for years to get rid of me. I'm still fucking here. I'm never leaving. I have fun just having these conversations, talking about weird news and murder mystery stuff. I like all that shit, movies. I have a wide variety of things I like to talk about. And that's where I'm just at right now. If I could get back to I don't even need that much money per day in order to do this as a full-time thing. That's how great my situation is. I don't need, I'm in a good place, and I'm fine with that.
I can tell that you're in a better place than where you were a year ago. Yeah. I could tell that it was rough for you the first year. Cause I know for a fact, just cause I can read these situations. I know for a fact that decline was tough, but that was tough to go through. But I could tell in the last 6 months, even if the true crime thing isn't really working out wonderful in terms of you, I can tell that you've mentally prepared yourself to deal with anything. You've mentally prepared yourself to deal with a comeback or zero views on a video. You've mentally prepared yourself for all contingencies. You've got real life income. So it's like I know that you would be content just having a presence but not being part of a career, even though that would be the lesser of the two choices. You've resigned yourself to that happening and just life curveballs that it throws at you, but always probably keeping at the back of your mind, there are irons in the fire. You never know what could happen with your movie channel. You might cover something that's trending, get a million views, and that's 10,000, 20,000 new followers right there. And by the way, remember, YouTube is massive. And I know you don't believe me because you've been for so long.
If you
jump to a different part of YouTube, no one would even recognize. I honestly, dude, I go to other parts of YouTube and I can tell that they have no idea who anybody is. So if you were really ambitious, you're like, no, I'm going to make a concerted effort to start from scratch. I'm going to eat shit. I'm gonna upload videos and get zero views with zero subs. I'm not going to promote this new channel, so even the people that still like me can't find me, but the haters can't find me. You'd be making videos for so long before anyone finds you. And by the time people do find that other channel, you would already have a loyal audience by that stage who would have good watch time on your videos. So a bunch of dislikes and a bunch of 30-second dislikes wouldn't even really hurt your channel. And I don't honestly think that there's that many people that care anymore. I don't think that there's enough of them following you anymore to ruin any new irons in the fire. But yeah, keep uploading on your main channel and just do something different on the site. Totally your choice.
Well, there's a lot of other avenues. It's not just YouTube. A lot of people tend to forget that because this is kind of an all-encompassing environment. But there's a lot of other avenues, and that's what I've been exploring. And so, yeah, things are gonna be different as time goes on. I appreciate you paying attention, and you've been very spot on with a lot of your analyses.
It was nice talking to you, man.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, you too, man. I'm in a let's see. I don't even know how long I've been on right now. Yeah, I can do another 20 minutes, and I should probably go to bed because I'm kind of fucking exhausted. It's been a long day. I appreciate you coming on in. I'm going to do more of these, so feel free to call back anytime, man.
All right, catch that. I may do that. Catch you.
All right, have a good one. Thanks a lot, CBP. All right, that was Coach Blackpill, ladies and gentlemen. Coach Blackpill. I've seen him pop in the chat before. Never had the chance to interact with him. Good dude. Very insightful. Very insightful. Very good conversation. I like that. I do like that a lot, actually. When you're able to get into these kind of in-depth conversations and you can actually discuss issues, it's a lot of fun versus just a lot of you get some vapid things every once in a while. But it's good to kind of dive into it, and that's what I like. So feel free. I'll take about one or two more calls. We'll do maybe quick. You guys can can shoot on in. Let's see here. So the number is, it's on the screen, 323-207-0499. You guys can call in 323-207-0499. I do see we have Say No to Gino in the chat. Mitch, again, thank you for that $5. We have Andre, he says, hello from Australia. What's going on, Andre? Frog is here, saying Gino is here so he doesn't feel like a total loser. I don't know, man. You're on a mundane Matt live stream. You sure you don't feel bad enough as it is? Anything could be possible. CBP is an excellent name, especially. Oh, I'm thinking of CBD for like CBD oil, but yeah, I think it's Coach Black Pill is pretty funny because if you know anything about Coach Red Pill, that's it's probably got to make him furious, and that's always okay with me. What does that mean? Coach, he was like, he's like, I can't do it right. I can't do it right. Yeah. I should get like PPP or fucking Krautwin here or something like that. They do it better. PPP and Godwinson do it real well. But that was a fun conversation. I don't mind talking about the last couple of years. A lot of people probably wouldn't want to go back, but I think having the conversation is quite frankly how you end up getting that. All right. So 701, how's it going, man?
Oh, hey, Matt. So I just wanted to like set some things straight. Is it, you have one maybe stepdaughter, but you have one kid of your own, right?
No, I have two biological daughters.
Okay, so it just makes me mad that people are like, oh, he's a fucking cuck or whatever. But
no, it's what it was is in that audio recording that came out, what I said was my girlfriend's got her.
Yeah.
And then someone just interpreted it to say daughter.
Oh.
So because sometimes I speak really fast and I have like if I have a dry mouth or something, yeah. I can slur my words a little bit. So I said, yeah, cause my daughter, I think at the time was like 1-2 months old, somewhere in there. And she had a cold and my girlfriend was sleeping with her in the living room. We could hear her crying. I was like, we waiting to see if I need to go check on her. And then I'm like, oh no, my girlfriend's got her. And then whoever was privately recording that call, I don't know who the fuck it was, but whoever was recording it, they just, yeah, they put it out there. Then someone's all like, oh, his girlfriend's daughter. Oh, he's a cuck. Oh, you know, oh, it's Tyrone's baby. It's Tyrone, ladies and gentlemen. So I told my girlfriend that, and like, you know, we make Tyrone jokes all the time. You know, like it was like, at my daughter's first birthday, like literally 2 weeks ago, we had the family over. And at one point I walk over to her, I said, oh, you know who's missing? She's like, who? And I'm like, Tyrone's not here. Like, what the fuck's up with that? And she just starts laughing her ass off because, like, we know it's so fucking absurd. My kid looks like me. That's the thing. My daughter has, like, the Jarbo cheeks, the little puffy, chubby cheeks. I'm just not posting photos of her. You probably understand why. So.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So, yeah, that's not. It's all some bullshit. Again.
No, it just kind of makes me mad because, like, you have your own house. You have your own, like, job and stuff, and like fucking Ralph and Andy just want to talk shit all the time.
Well, that's all they got. I mean, if you really break it down, and I know Andy personally, I've met Andy personally, where Andy was 3 years ago is like a shadow of where the fuck he is now. You know, where he is now is a shadow of where he was then. I don't feel bad. I'll tell you this, man. I don't feel bad.
You shouldn't.
Well, it's not that I shouldn't feel bad. I'm an empathetic person. I'm a very sympathetic person. I'm an understanding person. I forgive things I should probably not forgive in many cases, right? As long as there's like some kind of remorse. When it comes to him, what I didn't realize at the time that I know now is that all he ultimately cares about is fame and money. And that's it. That's all he's ever cared about. Like the truth is at that VidCon, he will deny this, but this is true, and this is backed up by other people who were there because, you know, a lot of us aren't Kokeski. He met Francesca Ramsey. He thought she was going to make him famous because she was on MTV with Decoded, and he thought, well, on YouTube, I get more views talking shit about Decoded than she gets. So I'm more popular on YouTube than Francesca Ramsey. That's what he thought. Never mind, because, you know, the dipshit doesn't actually go and do any fucking research. He didn't realize that on Facebook, you know, and you can argue the algorithm all you want on Facebook or how they tabulate views. They got 3 million, like 3.4 million on average per most decoded videos. Now, and again, it's, you know, a view on YouTube is 30 seconds. A view on fucking Facebook is like 1 second. So it's a different tabulation. But even if you just break the numbers down, they still would get more views on Facebook than they would get over on YouTube. I think they got about 50 or 60,000 views on YouTube. So anyway,
yeah.
He thought she would get him in. He, because, you know, there was like all that speculation at the time, because you had like Lacey Green was now kind of part of the skeptic community because she was dating Chris Reagan. And Lacey, I'm not disparaging her. Lacey's a sweetheart. You know, yeah. Like all that stuff. But really, Andy thought he was going to get this whole thing. And then when Franny went, and it wasn't just him. Armored Skeptic was also targeted by her as well. She had hit up Armored Skeptic. And she was playing the game with him too. She was, I think Francesca Ramsey at that point in time was sizing up the competition. She was doing whatever she could to size up the competition. She knew that the skeptics, that they wanted relevance outside of YouTube, that they wanted to get money. They wanted to get fame. They wanted to have that power. And they were looking for a way to branch out of this particular bubble and get into the mainstream. So when really? She reached out to them, because she reached out to them, then they thought, well, maybe this is going to be my way in. Maybe Francesca needs me and I can use her to get what I want, sort of thing. Right. So anyway, yeah. she fucked them both over. She laughed in their faces on a podcast with their former husband the week after VidCon. Like, she just laughed at him. She used them. She played them. Now, Armored Skeptic, to Greg's credit, you know, he took it on the chin and he's like, my bad and whatever. But I personally believe it broke Andy Worski. He was already feeling the hit from the apocalypse that had just started that year. And so going into the fall, you know, he was kind of aimless. He was doing Worski Live, but there was like no direction. He had nothing to sink his teeth into because he was cucked. So why the fuck would he go back to Decoded? You know, it's just useless at that point because she played him. So then when this Kraut situation happened and they came up with this narrative about a doxing server, which wasn't real, he dove on that, threw quite literally tons of his friends under the bus. All because he made fucking money. That's it. That's the truth.
Yeah.
You know,
you know what, Matt? You're really good at shit talking. You should do more drama.
I kept my mouth shut for two fucking years.
And the people who know, like,
the people who know me best, this is not new to them. The stuff that people who know me best, they're like, oh, finally, people are getting edgy Matt. We like edgy Matt. You know? Because like I just
kinda like edgy Matt.
Edgy. Well, I try to be funny and whatever, but like really, when you talk about, so the thing is, like, when I criticize someone like Andy, I feel bad because I, deep down, I like him.
Yeah, well, he's a retard.
He's completely dumb. He's the kind of kid you look at and you go, like, you ate paint chips as a child while living underneath power lines, didn't you? Like, he's the kind of guy that you know was, like, on the short bus, but no one ever wanted to tell him he was on the short bus. They just thought the short bus was the cool bus. He's so desperate for this kind of whatever relevancy he can ever get. Like, I told him on Twitter, I'm like, dude, do you realize how bad you fucked your life?
I can't believe he blocked you when you wanted to come in.
That was fucking funny. They call my phone 4 goddamn times.
I know. If they're calling you 50 times and you want to just say, hey, I'll come on.
No, you guys want to hear, there's like 43 of you. You guys want to hear the fucking voicemail? Check this out. I'll fucking play it.
Definitely.
I don't give a fuck. I'm going to try to cut it before he drops the number, but I don't really care. I'm not looking to fucking dox Kyler or whatever, but let me just make sure I get to the right message before I put it on the speaker. But yeah, so the idea there essentially is that, okay, hold on, that's my job. Okay, that's also my job. It's like, give me, okay.
Office.
Oh, no, that's also
message
the job.
Skipped. This should be it. Message.
Yes, hello. I'm calling to get a hold of a Mr. Matt Jarvo. I'm a journalist with an independent organization. My name is Frank King. I'm looking for anecdotal stories based on a message board. We're writing a story about called the Non-Talk SE. So if you get a hold of me anytime soon, the next few days, that'd be perfect. I'd love to hear from you. My name is Kyler.
Yeah. See that at the end there? He goes, oh, my name is Frank King. I'm a journalist. And then he's like, oh, my name is Kyler. And then he stops. And then after that, he drops his number still. So I give him credit. For going through with it. But it's like, how do you not realize you balding pimple that you fucking dropped your number? And
chemo is poison, I guess.
I just called him a fucking cancerous looking skeletor, you know, like it was just, you know, like vape more, die faster, I guess. I have no idea. Just these fucking people, man. Because here's the thing. It's just
the shit they talk about you. It's like Andy lives with his parents. Ralph lives with his mom. You own your own house. And you have your kids.
I know. Fuck, man. Don't get me wrong. Like, I would love to be rolling in like internet money again. You know, it's like that shit was, was crazy.
Sitting around and doing nothing for $200, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually pretty fucking accurate, to be honest with you. Like, back in 2016, I would get up in the morning. I'm all like, oh, what am I going to talk about today? And I would like just be in like a t-shirt and shorts until like 5:30 when my girlfriend would get home from work, and then I'd go, you know, maybe I'll put on pants, maybe not. You know, like I have no reason. I don't have to go anywhere. I talked about shit. I just, you know. Like I took a shower. That's about my most active thing all day. And you know, it's always like, that's how it was back then. But I mean, the thing is, these guys, they called me up just like, you know, to ask me about this stupid website I was on a decade ago that I showed a shitty blog on, you know? So then they go and they're trying to argue like, oh, Matt's a pedo, Matt's all these things. And they have no evidence of anything. They're just trying to say it because they want to get traction. But here's the truth about where Andy Worski is. He can come at me all day, every day about that nonsense. Anyone who knows anything is going to know it's nonsense. But this is a guy who 2 years ago on his 30th birthday was out there like, I have the number one live stream show on YouTube. I was number one with 12,000 people watching Sargon versus Richard Spencer. Key point to make there. People were watching Sargon versus Richard Spencer, not stuttering Worski. So you have that. And then he's like, I'm going to be on Joe Rogan. No, you're not. You might be a footnote on Joe Rogan when they ask you about a YouTuber who killed himself because of a cocaine overdose. That could be it. But then you...
On YouTubers, they get swatted.
Well, he's a D-Liver now, so no one cares. I mean, D-Live is like the D-list of streaming services anyway. They're going to go down.
Oh, yeah. D-Live is going to crash pretty soon.
Well, they were bought out by BitTorrent. And like they're going to transfer over, I think it's like to the Tron blockchain from Lino or whatever. So the lemons are just going to drop in value, but whatever. They'll be around for a little while longer. But you know, I tweeted at DLive and BitTorrent today about the wiretapping and the harassment. Someone's like, are you trying to cancel DLive? And I'm just like, you can't cancel what's already dead. You know, that's the thing though. It's like Worski 2 years ago, top of his game. Now he follows Ethan Ralph. He has to go on from like to like 4 o'clock.
And he's telling his followers that they have to donate every night or they get banned or.
Yeah, yeah. I don't, you got him. Oh, Ninja Genie, I'm going to clap like a circus seal. You know, like I tune
in.
Send
us a video, Ninja Genie.
Yeah, I tune in and it's like a 480p stream, you know, not even 720. He can't be fucked to even give you high definition. You know, even low bar, high definition. I mean, there's a reason why Red Bar laughed him off his fucking show. You know, I mean, there's all
that was
of these.
I watched that live.
That was funny, I will admit. Yeah, that was a real Ralph Wiggum moment right there. You know, you can see right here where his heart actually breaks.
Because he loves Red Bar.
He does. I mean, it'd be like if I ever was on with Kevin Smith and he was like, you're an idiot and kicked me. I'd be like, well, he probably has a point, but still, that stings. You know,
yeah.
But the thing is, again, I do like Andy and I wish he would get his shit together. And it's like I said in that video where I called out Ralph for his nonsense. I'm like, at the end of the day, I'm like, dude, you're an alcoholic. You're clearly drinking yourself to death. This is known. You're posting revenge porn. This is true. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Like you're going to die. And if you care at all, if you care, which I don't think he does, but if you care, you would do something to get yourself out of the hole you're in, you know? Like 2 years ago, I went out, I got on therapy. And then like, you know, I got on some antidepressants and they helped even me the fuck out. So it's like, there's nothing wrong with getting help where you can get it. There's yeah. nothing wrong with seeking that kind of help. That's how you get the whatever redemption people are, you know, I don't care what people on the internet say about redemption. But to me, my redemption is getting my shit together, getting, making sure my kids are fed, making sure my family is taken care of. That's where I'm at.
The only one can help you is you, you know?
Yeah.
You got to do it.
And that's the thing is like, we've got like, you know, I've been on for, what is it? We got the an hour and 45 minutes and, you know, I've made $5 and I'm not complaining about that at all. I've had a very good day in other areas. And it's like, but it's like, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and say, you can't talk to me unless you pay me money. What do? I put a fucking number on the screen. Anyone can call in. Troll, good conversation, yeah. Whatever. I don't give a shit. Let's have a conversation. Like, fuck it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Just like when Josh said, no, that they put a whole fucking album about you, about raping children or whatever.
Two
and
albums.
You didn't flag that down. Yeah, two
albums.
Of them.
You know, yeah, that was
the whole,
funny
like, Fat Smith thing doesn't even make any sense, especially since Ralph is way fatter than you.
Yeah, that was a Dick Masterson thing. He's just mad at me that I'm friends with Maddox and... You know, and then,
yeah.
I mean, come on. Have you seen what Dick is up to? Have you seen these tweets about
Yeah,
like,
I've seen the new
jacking
stuff with
off
Dick.
To Lolly?
So it makes me kind of want to go back and check out Maddox again.
Yeah, Maddox is just chilling. I talked to Maddox yesterday. He's like, he's not even in LA. He's like chilling at a cabin somewhere. You know?
Does he know about this stuff?
Yeah, he does. He's aware. Okay. Yeah, he's aware. Trust me, Maddox is aware. Okay. You know, he's got a lot. A lot of the people on the internet have little birdies. You know, they have little birdies, little tweeters.
Yeah, that send you enough things. People, they can send you shit.
I don't. You know, people just send me shit all the time. Like, I don't even ask for it. I'll just like wake up and I'll get these like DMs on Twitter. Oh, did you see this? And I'm all like, hold on, let me take a look. Oh, that's terrible. That's bad. That's fucked up. That's god awful. Yeah. Can I laugh at these people yet? Okay, let's do it.
But, it'd be pretty stressful, I guess, if people are just constantly talking shit about you.
Well, you have to take it in stride, to be fair. And I didn't. Yeah. I've had my bad moments. And even then, some things get under my skin.
You've had two years to change, and you changed pretty great.
Yeah. I mean, like, I've always been like this. People just, like, what I love is, you know, is when you get people like Andy that's trying to talk shit. The night he blocked me, right, he was all like, he's like, no one cares about mundane Matt. I'm like, nah, people still care, dude. Like, maybe not as many as it used
to.
Trying to
say your house is on fire.
Yeah. It's all like, it's, you know, like, oh, okay. Well, I have a home. You sleep on a futon. Yeah. You know, like, I'm going to walk out. I live in the woods. I talk about that often. I live literally
in
the woods.
You have, like, tons of acres of fucking land, man.
I think it's like 1.3. Oh, okay. But it's like, still, that's
Sorry.
Not bad.
I saw your docs, but I'm not going to come kill you or anything.
I appreciate that. Thank you, sir. My family appreciates that as well, you know.
It looks
neighbor,
beautiful, though.
It's beautiful here, man. Like, today, it was nice. It was sunny out. I think we hit a high of about, like, 85 degrees. It's just, like, you know, it was just chill. And I've got, like, a nice backyard. Well, it's not. I need to do work on it. But I've got, like, a big yard. And I've got, you know, just forest everywhere. And, yeah, it's not bad. You can't complain with this shit. Like, it's just, you know, I could be living in a big city, not able to pay my rent, or I have a mortgage. Where I own what I own and no one can take that from me. So it's like, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, sure. I may not be where I was 2 years ago, but fuck, I ain't that bad off either.
No,
you know, and I like this kind of stuff. So for me, it's just
when you're on your deathbed, you're going to be surrounded by your family. Well, Ralph is on his deathbed.
When I'm on my deathbed, if I could swing it, I would want to be like Meatloaf in the movie Blood Rain. Do you ever see that movie?
No, I haven't, actually.
Thank God. But there's a scene in the movie where Meatloaf randomly appears as this, like, king vampire character. And he's literally on this bed, and he's just surrounded by beautiful women, right? And the story, as it goes, apparently, is that they're not actresses. They were actual prostitutes. And the director,
Oh, really?
Uwe Boll, had gone to a local brothel that was, like, down the road. And he was like, I need women. And they paid the prostitutes to, like, stand in as these extras for the scene and give them like no money, you know, they were shooting in like Eastern Europe or whatever. But I figured like when I die, let me be surrounded by horse. No, I'm kidding. That would,
yeah, you might as well.
Well, I mean, you know, I'll just convert. No, I'm just not going to make the joke.
Convert to Islam.
You know, 72 of them. It is what it is. You know, there's a great episode of The Simpsons. We'll call it after this, but there's an episode of The Simpsons where they meet one of those like tent preachers Yeah. Right? And it's voiced by Don Cheadle. Maybe it's not. Maybe not Don Cheadle. I forget who it's voiced by. But he's asking Bart. He's all like, "And what's your plan for the afterlife?" And Bart just looks at him and goes, "Deathbed repentance." And the preacher goes, "Ooh, good plan." You know, and it's just like, and that ever since I was a kid, that stuck with me. I have family that are pastors. I have family that are like, you know, really religious, and they're like, "Do you want to be baptized?" I'm all like, at the end, you know, I'm just gonna cover every one of my bets at that point in time. It's gonna be like Benny from fucking The Mummy. You know, like, do I know this in Hebrew? Do I know this in Arabic or Aramaic or, you know, like Spanish or whatever the fuck? Like, oh, this is some weird alien shit. All right, cool. You know, like, just I'm covering my bases for whatever, you know, whatever the Mormons. I'm just going to follow the Mormons. They're going to be good.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to clear out the fucking stupid stepdad shit.
Well, no, I appreciate you calling on in, man. I really do. Thank you very much. I as I tell everyone, I'm going to do this more often. These are just fun conversations.
Yeah, so, I'll be here, man.
So we'll do this.
It's fun times.
Yeah, no, it's Boulder. It's Boulder Talk.
Boulder Talk. I was trying to think of something like Boulder Dash, but I guess that's a board game or something.
It is a board game, and I'm like, Boulder Dash is one thing. But did you notice what's in the O on Boulder?
Yeah, you're the
Unibolder meme.
Unibolder.
I'm not gonna lie. You can sit there and say what the last 2 years have been shit, whatever the fuck, right? But that meme, I love that goddamn meme. That
it's
actually
great.
That popped up the day, like I think a day or two after everything went down. It just ran. It ended up on 8chan, on the cowboard. That's where I saw it at least. And I saw it and I immediately went like, "Holy fuck! This is like the funniest goddamn thing I've ever seen." And I just fell in love with it because I thought it was so creative. And that was actually one of the things I really liked about this is going to sound so stupid to say, but it's so true. One of the things I really enjoyed about all the hate
is all the creativity.
The creativity that came out of it. Like, look, what other fat moron on YouTube can sit there and say there's been two hate-filled music albums made about them that are, you know, within the span of 6 months? You know, like,
I mean, the MC Jarvo stuff was really good, actually.
People are asking me now to, like, because he's been going after Ralph, they've been asking me to, like, go and sing, to go and actually rap, to, like, actually provide vocals and then have him remix
you should do the real ones. Because you can hear kind of the weird, like, robotic, like.
You can hear it a little bit. And the truth of the matter is, and I will let you go after this, but, man. The thing that pisses me off the most about MC Jarbo, this is the truth. I don't like the lyrics, I'll be fair. A lot of the lyrics I'm not a big fan
of. He always accuses you of some crazy shit. But
I've always wanted deep down to be a rapper, right? Like I've always wanted to rap. I love rap and I've always wanted to rap and I'm terrible at it. And then this fucker comes along. This motherfucker who I don't know from London comes along and he downloads all of my videos and he rips all of my audio and he makes me rap. And sometimes it sounds really fucking good, you know? And so then I hear it and people are like, "Oh, then that bar was on fire, man," or whatever the fuck. And I listen to it and I'm just going like, "God damn it. Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch." You know, so,
I think if you change up the lyrics a bit, like
I just saw no more
child rape or whatever.
More child rape. Yeah, let's move away from the child rape. We can joke about other shit, but let's not joke about shit. So anyway, I'll let you go, dude. Thank
it was
you
good
so
talking
much.
To you.
Yeah, you yeah, too, yeah, man. Yeah. Thank you so much. Have yourself a great night, dude. Thank you. All right, that was pretty fun. We did get a $15 super chat from Ear Juice. Asking to unhide him from chat. All right. I got to go find it, but I'll go find it real quick. Thank you very much. If you want to come on in, Ear Juice, I'll do like another 10, 15 minutes. I should go to sleep. I really should, but I'm awake right now. Let's see here. So, all right. What do we got here in the chat? Blood Rain Epic Boobs. Yeah. Brothel in Germany are legal. Yeah. Let's see. Clark here says, "I remember torrenting Blood Rain back in the day. I spent good money on it, Clark." So you win that one. You can call in via Discord. Yeah, you can call in via Discord, dude. That's fine. There we go. Let me just make sure you are in as a, hold on, I'll make you a YouTuber if I could find that. There you go, creator. All right, so let me jump into, I'll just close that out because we'll end after this one. All right, let me just take that off the screen. And I'm bringing up my Discord. I'm trying to run like 8 things at once, but all right. So if you go into the, you're in Ear Juice. If you go into the general voice, I'll bring you into the streaming and we'll be able to chat. So we do have a Discord as well. And that's going to be something I like to, all right, bring you in. Oops. Hey, what's going on, man? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can I hear you fine?
Perfect. Perfect. What's going on, Mr. Randbot?
Yeah, not much. Not much.
You've been having fun with that. You've been having some fun with that shit.
Oh, yeah. I've always wanted to do that. I've always wanted to call in as Randbot onto Ralph's stream and be like, oh, hey, Ralph. Yes. I had to change my Discord profile. So, and then just, you know what, Ralph, I've always wanted to say the following things and then just, you know, spout as much as I could before he wised up or something. But,
well, oh, yeah,
PPP stream was more fun.
PPP stream is always a lot more fun than the kill stream. I think you get a lot more. What I love about PPP is the fact that that weird Canadian motherfucker has done more damage. Like, he is swung in like a boulder, you know what I mean? And he has done more damage than anyone else. And it's like, I get why. I get how it's happening. And it's so funny because all he does is just he knocks them off their game. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's it. He's very good at it. He's different from me as in that he will just do anything that gets a good harvest, anything that will get good Kino. Just throws whatever narrative is needed. It doesn't matter. Just put it all out there as long as it gets a reaction. And it does, you know, it gets bigger numbers. It just pisses everybody off. So it's all, you know, he's done good work. Yes.
It's what's surprising is like, just like how we kind of came into it, because, you know, I first heard of PPP as a guy who has spread his asshole, you know? And I'm like, first I'm like, wait, why the fuck would he do that? And then of course I'm like, it's the internet. This is how this is how it goes. Someone's going to spread their asshole at some point in time, you know, whatever. And then like, he just started kind of like talking about like it was the new Project 2 thing. And then like, you know, he got that win because it ended up like collapsing like 2 weeks later, you know, it just ended up falling apart. And I don't know exactly all the particulars of that situation, but just, I was like, how the fuck did this, like this, you know, Jordan Peterson sounding motherfucker come on in, you know, and Kermit the Frog his way through this.
And that's it.
But like, and then he just like he streams from his fucking iPhone.
He has no idea how to use OBS. That's why I've done OBS streams for him, or Kraut does them. Yeah.
Part of me thinks he does, if I'm being fair. I think he's got a better understanding of it. But I think like the lo-fi attempt is what is one of you know, it's one of the factors that works out well for him. I think it's one of those nice, it's like an endearing thing because he comes across as not a YouTuber, you know, like, cause I've got like a, you know, a Shure SMB7-1 and a bunch of other gear. So I'm like, I'm set for YouTubing. He's like, I've just got my phone. I'm just going to yell real loud.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to like listen to someone else, like through my little, what I think it's a fucking netbook or something.
It's something like that, and it's got dust and shit all over it. Yeah, or he just points it at his TV.
I know.
It's very Bitwave and stream me. Yeah.
Yeah. He just looks like he's got like, he just looks like he's, you know, like it's almost like cum spattered. It feels like at times where is he just like eats in front of it or jerks in front of it or whatever, and like he just never cleans it. You know, like the kind of thing you would expect to find like in a real just degenerate's household. And then, of course, here comes Surfer, and Surfer's like flashing his balls and just looking more and more like Michael Douglas from Falling Down. He's just going to go through the greater Toronto area with a fucking bazooka. Like, that's how I like Surfer, but that's how I view him going out.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I had a chat to him actually after Kinodrome because PvP was like, my balls are sweating. I got to get out of this bloody cloak thing. And walks off, and then Surfer just sits down and talks to me for the next hour about all of the shit that he's heard about Australia and stuff. He's an interesting character, that's for sure. So
he seems very interesting. Yeah, like I haven't had a talk with him directly, but I've heard him. You know, obviously, it's the calls I've had with PPP and things like that, and then also being in the show. But those guys crack me up, man. Like Godwinson, at first I didn't like Godwinson because I thought he was a bit of a prick. And when I first, you know, and but then I didn't realize, like, I didn't realize it was Godwinson being Godwinson. I didn't realize that until later on, like much later. And so I've had conversations, and it's so funny with Godwinson because he'll sit there and we'll talk. Like, we were talking the other day, and he'll just start like offering up like a lot of advice about like my channel, but it's not like condescending advice. You know, it's always like, he's like, have you thought about doing this? And then he'll list the reasons why. And he, so he pays attention to a lot of shit. And I think he's like actually a really good dude. Like even PPP, yeah, he's a really good guy. So it just fucking hysterical to me, like just how weird things have gotten.
Yeah, well, they definitely kept up the heat. And I think that, you know, PPP, ever since he came back, because I remember the first night he came back and I was on Bitwave quite a bit then. And everyone was like, oh, PPP's back. And I was like, who's this PPP guy? Oh, he was from Stream Me. He really hates Ralph. That's all he really talks about. Trust me, you'll love it. So I jump into VC. And ever since that was quite a while ago, though. And ever since then, all he has done is just stream after stream about Ethan Ralph, just sitting in front of his phone. This is the problem with Ethan Ralph. This is why he's such a narcissist. You know, this is what he's doing wrong. This is why everybody hates him. Just point after the point, stream after stream, and it just built and built momentum until like you couldn't not pay attention to it anymore.
Yeah,
and they just got enough momentum to just kill Ralph's numbers, take over the farm
trades.
They've
taken over, but then again, and I don't know how true this is. Everyone accuses everyone else on DLive of botting. You know, like you hear this, and I'm like, I have no idea like how true that is because. I mean, DLive is a shit platform. It is. It's just a shit platform.
They bought their own numbers. I think that's it. Like, I talked to PPP about it, and I was like, you know, when I was pretending to be Rand, it was, what, 1.4K? Then we're doing Kinodrome, and it's like a few hundred. And it just didn't, it never seemed right. Like, the chat was moving faster on Kinodrome. And he said, dude, it's always like that. Ralph's numbers are like that. They're all both sides that you, most people say, just halve it. It's just something that DLive does. It's not really people going around botting. Well, you don't know, but it could be. But
yeah,
I doubt it. It seems to be across the board for anyone that's a large streamer. Yeah.
I don't get it either. Like, it's just, I mean, with YouTube, you can kind of understand how things would work. But with DLive, it's, you know, I'll tune into like Worski's absolute terrible show. And he's got like 900 people watching. You know,
yeah,
like,
I know.
And I'm just like,
yeah.
Is it just because everyone is used to going to the petting zoo and looking at the moron? Is that just where we are? You know, it's just like, what's he going to say next? Is it just because he doesn't say smart things?
You know, I mean,
it's weird. Well, it's like, you know, he was you know, that whole thing we're talking before about him blocking me. Because like I started trolling him on Twitter. I literally did the whole like Warriors thing. I was like, Andy Worski, come out and play. And then, like, a lot of people started retweeting it. And I had to GIF and everything. Because I'm like, if you're going to sit there and talk shit about me, dude, fucking bring me on your stupid-ass show. I sent him a DM, too. I'm like, why don't you bring me on instead of having your fucking cancer patient friend call me and, like, leave these stupid voicemails.
AIDS Moby. He got the nickname AIDS Moby today on stream, and it seemed to have caught on. So everyone's going with that. Or he's one of the vampires from Blade 2, you know, where the mouth splits open.
Yeah, that seems more accurate for him. Yeah, he's like, did you happen to hear when I played the voicemail? Did you hear the voicemail?
Yes, I was recording it. I thought everybody could see me in chat because I was asking, and someone said they could, but they were seeing Hejas, not Earjuice. So I'm sitting there going, oh, this is great. And then I was like, oh, I'm probably banned, you know.
It's definitely possible. I did just go through and clear out, like, I guess let me see here. I'm trying to, like,
I did attack you a lot, so.
Well, a lot of people attacked me a lot, to be honest with you. That's not something that isn't known at this point. A lot of people did. And that's, look, dude, it's YouTube, it's the way it goes. In a lot of cases, it's not personal because I don't know these people, you know?
Mm.
It's the people that fucking I knew personally that were doing it. That's the shit that pissed me off, right?
Well, I think I've talked to you before because I made a song, you know, after the kill stream. I used that audio, put a song together, went to Ralph and said, hey, I play this. Blow. I don't know if he did.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Flagged. Come on. I'm sure
it got
he did.
Flagged. No, but it got flagged within 30 minutes of being up.
And I thought, that's fucking
weird. Who's
got
Google Alerts? So I blamed you, of course. I said, it's probably Jarbo. Who knows if he's still doing it after the kill stream?
No,
never know. Yeah, well, you told me before. Like, look, it doesn't really matter at this point. So I was just like, fuck this guy. I'm going to make attack video after attack video. And then I was making the parody songs. That's how I became friends with Jarbo the Hutt. Drummer 828, I'm friends with as well. So it was sort of, you know, some of your worst enemies were my internet friends, I guess. So.
and then here we fucking are. So go figure on that one. I'll tell you this though. It's like Drummer. I think Drummer's like low tier. I just don't. He doesn't really have anything interesting to say. The only interesting thing he did was he reached out to this guy I went to film school with, and then that dude fucking lied his fucking ass off. And I'll tell you this. I found out about there being an interview. Somebody sent me a tweet of his saying that he had conducted an interview with someone from my past. And then I sat there for about 30 minutes and I thought, who the fuck could it be? Right? Like, for one, I'm like, which one of my friends that I've known would ever fucking talk to someone about me? The answer is, like, anyone that I'm really friends with wouldn't, because were pretty aware. But there were people that didn't like me who I thought, and I actually reached out to this guy, Mike. I thought we were cool. The last time I saw him, we were cool. You know what I mean? Like, I'd never known there to be any ill will, to be honest with you. And then like, he does this interview and like, he just makes up all this shit. I sent it to a friend of mine we went to school with. And I'm like, dude, listen to this shit. And he comes back. He's like, what the fuck? This is all lies. Because everyone, the thing is, in San Diego, the film scene in San Diego is very small, right? It's very small, very well connected, very small. I was well known in San Diego for that shit. And a lot of people knew me for being like very helpful guy, always wanting to be involved in stuff. So when he's out there like claiming all this crap about me being lazy or whatever, I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, at no point is any of that true. This guy got so mad after graduation that we all moved on past him. He actually ended up fucking, because he was on like, he was on disability from the government. He was going to get his degree in like audio engineering after he finished the film program. And he was, you know, he was getting all these degrees from that the government was paying for. Eventually that money ran out and he couldn't find a job. And then his wife couldn't, because of her disability, couldn't afford to pay the rent on their apartment. So they moved to Vegas to live with her parents because neither one of them could get a job. And so when he left San Diego, which was none of our faults, he got very mad and bitter at us because we were working on stuff. And a lot of us moved up to LA after the fact and he didn't come with us. You know, like, so it's just all this bitterness and jealousy. So I was laughing my ass off at it too. But I tell you this is the most fucked up part. I don't care that he talked about me. I asked him point blank, did you talk to anyone about me the night of that interview? And he, looking back on it now, he never said yes or no. He just deflected. And then I should have realized at that point he was full of shit. So yeah, fuck that guy. But that to me was hysterical, because it's like, that's how far some people were going, you know? And then, you know, and then like, what was it? Drummer bought a Matt No t-shirt. Like, that cracked me up. You know, like, he was such
he did. Yeah.
He was such a fan of and then only to get banned by Ralph a year and a half later. You know, like, it's just, the shit never lasts. You know what I mean? The shit never fucking lasts. No, so where I'm at, like I said, I'm open about a lot of crap. At this point, I'm just more about having a good time, having fun, laughing and shit. So, I mean, like, you know, we've talked before that stream the other night with Andy and Kylor and like the shit they were saying was so fucking funny to watch.
Oh, it was so good. I went over it again today on HeJazz. Just their arguments. Okay, so it's like, their first one was, Matt, you just can't, because you're Matt. You're pathetic and you make low-tier content, so you can't criticize Ralph for some reason. Your house is still on fire after 2 years. And then this is the best one. Your life is in shambles because you don't make money online. So you can't, people that don't make more money than Ralph online can't criticize Ralph. That was their actual arguments. It was like, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, sorry.
And then
even criticize Ralph. I don't make enough money. So
yeah, I know. I guess I gotta make $1,000 a week on Uber Eats, and then I can come back in and I can criticize him according to Kyler. Okay. Wow. Weren't they during the Ralph's little coping stream the other night where he was lying his ass off? Didn't they? Weren't they donating money?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, so, yep. So the people that follow your show that are like the after show, they're giving you their money because, for what purpose? You know, it's like, are you just, you paying the gunt in order to stay in his favor? Like, how is that not fucking extortion?
Yeah. Well, they were paying money, I think, because there was a competition because they were trying to make more money than what PPP was or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and they still ended up winning, I think. PPP ended up winning that night, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He did. Even I had 10 lemons, and I was like, how did I get these? Oh, well, just give lemons.
I've never used DLive. I don't have an account. Someone keeps posting as, like, Mundane Matt in there.
Yes.
I see that. That's not me. I don't have an account. But I keep seeing that pop up, and I'm all like, who the fuck are you? What are you doing? Who is this person?
Because most people thought it was. So,
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did, man. I'm like, you know, never mind the fact that I dropped the name on fucking Twitter. I dropped the name from the YouTube handle. But fucking DLive, man. That's where I'm going to rock it as Mundane Matt. That's going to be my fucking comeback. Clearly, DLive is going to be where things are at for me. That's the truth, the reality of me. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know where things are going to go next. Did you see the video I put out today on Twitter calling out Ralph for that shit? Did you see that at all?
I don't think I did.
I put out a video talking about accountability.
Yes.
Like,
no, I watched it before.
He, as far as I can tell, he hasn't responded to it at all. And it's got over 30 retweets and, like, I think it's got 1,600 views. So at this point, this motherfucker had to have seen it. You know.
Oh yeah.
So it's just
for sure.
It's just like you can't. It's got 1,500 views. Yeah. I mean, on Twitter, that's not much, but it's like he's running away from it. I love it because it's not going to go away. At no point is any of this going to go away for him. He's going to be living with this. And here's my question to you: where is Faith? Where is Miss Faith?
Well, she reckons that she was going home because she didn't know some information and only just found out. So everyone was speculating about what that actually was. And it may have been because Ralph was asking for a threesome with Aid. It may have been about the fact that Ralph was abusing her own dad on Twitter and she didn't know about it. Who even knows? But all of a sudden, yeah, she's back there. Everyone had speculated that they had broken up already. And then all of a sudden, all of this shit went down. Who even knows? But you think about it. If Faith's gone home to her parents, and he's just been telling the dad to go suck a dick and all of this does shit, like, there's no way the dad's going to be like, oh, yeah, we'll have fun.
Yeah, well,
go back out the door.
See you later.
Mean,
what about the sex tape? You know?
Yeah, and then, like, there's the sex tape as well.
It's all like, oh, you think her dad, who called him, like, human scum, is going to be okay with you know, his daughter's asshole being blasted through the entire internet like she's PPP? I mean,
no.
Like, of course not. I was watching a clip tonight of Rikada and Ty Beard talking about, like, what would you do if this happened with your daughter? And the whole response is like a 55-gallon drum and a whole bunch of lie. You know? I mean, that's the Texas way. But it no parent out there is going to look at this as being anything other than an act of war. And I still think what I feel bad about the most is I talked to Chris after the fact. He DM'd me after the fact and we talked for a few minutes and he told me something I can't repeat because it's not mine to tell. But like, it's another thing I think that Faith is lying about. And he kind of thinks that too, but this kid was still the next day on a story fire, like trying to get her to contact him instead of realizing that she was playing him from the beginning. Like, so I feel I feel bad for that kid. I don't really I feel bad for Faith too, but like, she had her hand to play in this. Like, this kid got strung along and he thought he was doing the right thing and like calling this out. And then a drunken moron just like, yeah, let me just show you my dick in your girl. And it's just going to become like, do you think the jiggle meme bothers him? It's got to bother him, man.
Of course. Gunt posting has always bothered him. And that's why I've always done the Daft Gunt stuff. Like, because I fell out after the, the CP stream, the pedo bus stream. I was a I was like a Patreon and in the mod chat with in Ralph's Discord, because I wanted to get parody songs on stream and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And there was a few other things, and then Ralph ended up just letting in a few idiots to dox the Patreon, some financial supporters, as a big joke, and then let them into that chat so they could get screenshots and that of everybody reacting to it.
Jeez. Like, there's so much I feel like I don't know, because I checked out for like the longest time. And so now I'm like trying to like play catch up on a lot of this stuff to at least get an understanding of like who's involved, because a lot of people that I've been talking to recently, you know, in like the last week or so, are people kind of like you that like I thought like I probably blocked on Twitter or blocked on YouTube because like there was, you know, attacks and stuff. And then again, it's like, but people have been, we've just been chit chatting like it's kind of no big deal. And I think, after, you know, it's like water under the bridge, basically, for me at this point. I even had people who've called me like actually like make out videos that have me as like the, say I'm a pedo defender or some shit like that, which isn't true, that they DM me and they're like, hey, like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, you think,
there's a lot of lore though with it, yeah, around that. With
there's a ton of
that. That was his main downfall. That's when he mainly had the big downfall with Stream Me and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And well, I really wonder how much Keemstar had in that too, because Keemstar had connections to the moderation staff. And he, you know, there's if you watch, do you know who the gamer from Mars is?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So he did a video about Basher, and it's recently, it's like 2 months old maybe, but in the video about Basher, he plays this clip while Keemstar is talking to Basher, and he tells Basher, why don't you go over to stream.me, and I'll pay you this amount of money, and he didn't say what it was, he goes, this amount of money to stream there every week, and then he sends him amount of money. And I mean, Basher was like, whoa, you know? And so I'm thinking to myself, like, how much did Keemstar have invested into Stream Me? If he was able to just make someone, I'll pay you this amount of money to do this, he's got to have some kind of connection that's going to make it worthwhile for him.
Yeah, wow. And yeah, so, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, so it's like, so he's mentioned Stream Me multiple times. But the thing with Stream Me that I don't get is like, you know, when everyone was trying to get it canceled and all the Anons and everything, the farms were trying to get it all done. And then nothing was working until they found the CEO, and then they found his wife, and then they're sending him the cum tributes. And like the next day it was gone. I, you know, but I've seen reports that have said something like they were already planning on shutting it down. They just accelerated it, you know? And I'm like,
yeah, basically, it was a big test run for something else. It was supposed to be, I think they were going to, they were testing it to be like a server, sort of like Entropy, but the opposite. So it's basically, you have your own website, right? And then you need and you want to make it a streaming site. So you would use the StreamMe service as a backbone, and then their servers to run a sort of code on your website, which would be a streaming site. So it's basically to create your own streaming site. That's what streaming was supposed to become. And that was sort of a test run for it, as far as I know it.
Okay.
Well, as far as Josh told me, yeah.
I just want to say good night, OV Warrior. Thank you for hanging out for the time that you have, man. I see him. He's been here for a while. So I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, Stream Me, I feel bad for the people on there and the people on DLive too, the people that followed PewDiePie over to DLive, and the fact that they, you know, he left, he never really gave much of a fuck about it. It was whatever money he could make. And now they've got Ice Poseidon on there. Like, you know, once you bring on Ice Poseidon to anything, it's its lifespan is going to just, it gets cut in half.
That's it.
So,
and they'll actively defend and back up Ethan Ralph. So
I don't get that. Yeah. Like, there's something going on there. Maybe they just don't care. Maybe they got bought out by BitTorrent. Maybe because remember, you got BitTorrent purchased DLive, and they're going to kind of meld it with, I believe they're going to kind of merge it with BitTorrent Live or BeLive is what they're going to try to meld it into. So really what it could be at this point is they're like, fuck it. We don't care. We're making money off of these people, that 25% cut off the lemons. We'll just let this thing play out. Cause we know that in a few months, we're just not going to be around.
Yeah, that's it.
That seems like the most like likely thing to happen simply because of, you know, these streaming sites seem to be run by either venture capitalists or kind of shady businesses. And I like BitTorrent as a company, but it's probably just buying the infrastructure. So I don't know. Like I don't know. I'm waiting for that to happen. Cause you know, once that goes away, this is another thing too. People don't realize you want to cut into Ralph's money podcasting. When that got cut into that, I think, I don't know all the details. I don't know any details, but it's my speculation that when Zencast took him out and he lost Spotify, he lost a significant portion of his revenue. Because, you know, you think, you know, DLive or YouTube or StreamMe, you're getting the super chats and that's where you think he's getting the most of his money, right?
Yeah.
There's a ton of fucking money in podcasting. A lot of these places allow you to run ads, and I'm pretty sure because one time he posted a screenshot of like how many listens he had gotten in a month, and he had about 77,000 listens in a month. That's actually really fucking good for a podcast. And I'm sure if that amount of fucking downloads at the length of show that it was, so 3 hours and whatever, people were listening to it on a daily basis, he probably put in some ads and he's probably making some pretty decent money off of that too. That's why he wanted Spotify to like, I had heard from someone he was going to pay Spotify to promote him on the Joe Rogan podcast. Like they were going to run his ads on Joe Rogan's page.
Yeah, there was something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, because he probably thinks that Joe Rogan is going to have some kind of, you know, like the similar audiences. I can see why. But so if he can get that audience, then that's just going to be more people listening to him, which means more potential money from podcasting. So it's like that was his game. That's his goal. And that's now basically been kind of kneecapped and crippled. So that's a big,
yeah.
he's been more agitated since losing the podcast.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, it's yeah.
Going out and blaming everybody else for it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm waiting for him to blame the triple parentheses, if you know what I mean. Like that's what I think that's going to be the next thing he's going to blame is that group of people that clearly have done nothing to him, but you know, that's going to be what gets his audience going. Oh, I've been living the bit too long, he says, as he slams down two bottles of Maker's Mark a night. Sure.
Yeah.
As UConn here says, the gunt consumes all, which is very true.
It does. Yeah, because I don't know. I mean, I had a falling out with Ralph, the doxing of his own supporters. Well, letting other people dox his supporters and then sitting back and laughing about it and not doing anything. Then getting mad when the supporters started DMing him and giving him shit about it. So he bans them. He bans any dissenters from that chat. So there was that and a few other things I was pissed off about. So I made the Daft Gunt stuff. But other than that, it's sort of been like, okay, the Gunt memes piss him off, so that's why I kept doing it. But really, I didn't have much of an issue. It was just like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'll give him shit every now and then. He was always pushing his narratives and bullshitting and doing whatever. But it wasn't until he came out with that Patreon audio with that girl, with a teenager saying, yep, totally dating a teen. It's totally all good. Everything's great. You're just like, what the fuck? That was it. I was just like, dude, we got to gross these motherfuckers. That's disgusting. And that's totally illegal in Australia as well. And the fact that all of his gunk guard are just sitting there patting him on the back.
Yeah, like, oh man, you're 35 dating and nailing an 18-year-old. Man, you alpha Chad, you.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like a human lollipop. Got really tiny legs and a fat body. You know, it's just like, what? You know, I mean, if you watch the tape, I can't believe I watched that tape. It's horrifying. He doesn't do anything. He just lays there. I mean, like, it's the laziest sex I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's it.
It's just the laziest sex I've ever fucking seen. And, like, that's all it can boil down to.
It's so weird.
You know, but it's just, don't ever watch it. You know, it's like the joke. I think one of the jokes I made was, you know, I could see this because of the ripple effect of this, of how it spread. People who you wouldn't think would have seen this have seen this, you know, and like people in different communities around YouTube or the internet have seen this. Just look up Ethan Ralph on Twitter and just start reading like the latest posts and you'll find a bunch of people talking about it. And it's like all these people have now seen him in an extremely compromised position. He thought it was probably the best own he could ever give anyone. But at the end of the day, it's the biggest self-own anyone could ever do. If you're going to drop a sex tape, make sure you have the package to back it up. He didn't. So bad.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Don't be on a waterbed with a cockroach-infested room and open pad packets on the ground on an air mattress or whatever it is. Yeah,
wasn't that
just lying there and then sticking your thumb up a butt?
I think, like, what was that thing I saw on Twitter today where you had the I think the friend of aid saying like that orange suitcase was Ralph's and she had given it to him to like pack up his stuff and get him the fuck out of Michigan. Did you see that?
No, I didn't know much about that. So what was it go? So he still had a suitcase that he packed from ages ago, was like.
Yeah, so like that was the thing. Everyone saw the suitcase, the orange suitcase, and they thought that it was Faith's. And like, oh, it's her suitcase because, you know, there's like the suitcase, it's open, and then you see like the panty liners and the pads, right? So it just kind of, the natural assumption of it is that it's all together. Well, Aide said today that was her suitcase, that when he went with her to Michigan, she gave it to him to pack his stuff to get him the fuck out of town, throw him on a bus.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah,
that's what she's saying. Now, I don't know how much of that's true. I think her testimony the other day was very convincing, very funny, very convincing. And I don't know how much of that's true, but she, if she like can prove that he was in Michigan with her and like someone could send that to his PO, he's fucked, you know? And I'm sure people are already trying. Like, I'm sure people are like, this is the thing with Ethan that's dumb, is like all of his actions are going to eventually come back and bite him in the ass legally. You know, it's just going to come back and it's just going to compile and it's just going to pile on him like a big old sack of boulders. Blech. Just done.
Yeah. Well, he reckons he's going to be a changed man and he's not going to, you know, let his private life out there, and he's not going to respond to all of the tit for tat sort of stuff. And in the same stream, he's calling his ex-girlfriend a whore and then a whole bunch of other things, and then yelling about how PPP doesn't have classic streams like he does and all of this. It's like, oh, God damn, he hasn't learned a thing. This will be great. Yeah, whatever, dude. But then you got Dick Masterson and Ralph in a way and a few others all defending LoliCon now. And Loli, have you seen this?
I have seen that. And to me, all that is a defense. It's a deflection is how I view it. Because if you come at, okay, so the sex tape is bad enough. The gunt guarding is bad enough. But now you throw on this like this really kind of left, like right wing, out of the woodworks LoliCon situation, where Dick's like, I'm gonna jerk off on LoliCon on Sunday on my stream. Like, wait, what are you like? Okay, so the average person is gonna then go, I don't know what LoliCon is. They'll look up LoliCon. There's the accusations of pedophilia. PPP put that out today. You know, he made a stream and stuff. So now the conversation then shifts to Dick from Ralph. So to me, it's all a deflection. Is Dick is now the biggest gunt guard there is. And he is deflecting off of this Ralph situation in order to draw heat on him. Because at the end of the day, he can sit there and make all the comments he wants about it. It's not going to matter. it's not going to matter. His core audience isn't going to change. But Ralph's core audience is starting to see through his bullshit, because if you lay the heat off, you take the heat off of him, he'll think he got away with it, and then he'll keep doing it until we get another pill stream or we get another, you know, 8-hour live stream of him yelling at his mom or something that ends up being this thing that Gator comes in and sweeps up and covers up for, and, you know, doesn't ever say I disavow, but still keeps going back like a battered housewife.
With the paycheck. Yeah, for sure.
So you've got all that. And you can just start to see, look at like all the ancillary stuff, right? Dame's kind of backed off a bit. I'm sure that's done mostly because he doesn't want to like anger Dick or Ralph, because he needs them. And other people are still kind of circling, but because it's been a week, not even a week, it's been 5 days. And you're telling me like this controversy with me lasted at its full height for like 6 fucking months.
For sure.
But he released his sex tape 5 days ago, and it's already yesterday's fucking news. Like, I maybe I'm biased when I say this. I probably am biased when I say this. But what the fuck?
You have a good point. Yeah. But then with you, I think, like, because everybody is sort of just got rid of you. Just like even Midnight's Edge and all of that. You were co-hosting and guesting on there. Everyone started asking them. They said, we've got nothing to do with this. But then you noticed you were never on that show ever again.
Those guys, I still talk to Andre occasionally, but the rest of those guys, man, they're so far up some other group's ass. That's like just nonsense. And it's just, it is what it is. It's like that. But it's like, the thing is like, because people, I had one guy, I won't say who it is, a YouTuber that I had been hanging out with weeks earlier at VidCon. And this whole thing went down, and he just broke off contact for like 6 months. And then he finally just like, you know, pops up in my DMs one day, and he's like, oh, hey, how's it going? Like nothing had happened. Right. So we start talking a little bit, catching up. And then he goes, he's like, I got something I got to tell you. I didn't talk to you for the last 6 months or associate with you because it wasn't good for my business. You know? And like, I get it. I understand it. Sure. Right. But he didn't talk to me at all for like 6 months. It wasn't like even private behind the scenes. Like, hey, you fucked up, but I'm still your friend sort of thing. So I was like, all right, man, well, I stopped talking to him. Like this is I get the reality of the situation is like people are going to, you know, they don't want to screw their business in this situation, you know, or in my situation, their association with me was toxic and they were afraid. And I get that. I understand that. All right. And there were a lot of people that did distance themselves publicly, but still talk to me privately. I don't hold any ill will against them. I don't even really hold ill will against people that didn't really associate with me. I get it. The way this guy said it pissed me off. That's why it pissed me off. But what it was is like in Ralph's situation, he's insulated in that world of DLive. So he doesn't have, if none of those guys are calling him out, the fuck does it matter? You saw that statement he put out today, right? He's like, the only demo that matters is a Killstream demo. That's it. That's all he cares about. And those people aren't going the fuck away.
No, they're not. He's got his gunk guard behind him all the way. But that's been the problem all along, is just the gunk guard is real. It's a real thing. It's been around for a year or so now, ever since his downfall. And you've got these people, every one of his co-hosts. And if they disagree with him on anything at all, they are out. They are so out. They are so done. And they come out with the same defense. You just want what Ralph has. You just don't want his number. You just want his numbers. You want to be an online personality. It's just the Ralph tier defense, everybody calls it. Everyone knows what it is because they're so used to hearing it. Exactly. Oh, you're just stalking him. You're obsessed. You're just a basement dwelling incel. Just, you know, you could list it off so quickly. And these people are just fucking idiots when you break it all down. It's fucking insane, some of the shit that they actually spew out of their mouths. It's so dumb and it's so hypocritical. And I think the other problem is that everything's gotten a bit gayer around here since your time. Like, I remember when flagging and doxing used to be such a fucking one-off thing, and you would get called the fuck out for even hinting at it. Well, now it's, you know, like, Ralph's just throwing doxes up on stream whenever he feels like it. And other stream, and other people do too. You see them all the time in DMs. It's just, and flagging as well. Like, well, I was in a VC and after Tonkade, so... Tonka was making all these streams about Andy because he came back. I was, I had Worski on my show for my first, for the first ever EJAS or HeJAS. He came on with Geek and it was like, oh, this is cool. This is a big, big thing for me, really. Kind of, I guess. But anyway, we were trying to talk Worski into it after the show. We're just like, hey, Hef sounds like Tonka. We could get him to say he has AIDS, pretend it's secret audio. Then we'll make a whole stream about it, then don't stream about Tonka anymore and just watch Tonka Sieve for the next week. So they, it ended up being a whole bunch of songs. So we made a whole bunch of songs. Worski made some, I made some, I made all the video clips, and we had Tonkade on Worski's channel. So he did all of the, you know, Tonka has AIDS songs.
Yeah.
Tonka's going off. He's spurging out. He's threatening lawsuits. It's going perfectly. It's exactly his plan. Show ends. He goes back into the, goes back, like the VC, we're still all in the VC, show ends, so we're not on air anymore. And he's just like, okay, well, let's flag down Tonka. It's like, what? Why? Like, that defeats the whole purpose of what we've been trying to do. No, we're flagging him down. We flagged down his other two channels, and they just flag him down right there. And I was like, well, that's fucking gay. And yet, I'll go around telling people that, and no one gives a fuck. Mainly because people hate Tonka. But, you know, like, Worski's copyright struck Gino three times and probably flagged him at least once.
Yeah, most likely.
The care factor, I think, has gone away a bit. It's terrible, but it's just the
yeah,
way it is.
I picked the wrong time to be the canary in the coal mine, I guess, right? Mm. I know. Cool. It's a bunch of, the thing is, like, you know, the past is shit, but the future is looking okay, and I'm cool where I'm at. And, you know, I'm glad we're having this conversation, you know, man, like, I am glad we're having this conversation. I'm glad I'm having a conversation with everyone tonight. This has just been fun to kind of hang out and chat, and this is why I wanted to do it. So, you know, like, it's, and at the same time, by putting the number on the screen, I know for a fucking fact, there's going to be one night where Ethan will not be able to fucking, to not come in. He's going to have to do it. And then I'm going to have him right where I want him, which is the whole fucking point. Because he's done it before multiple times. So, you know, it's all fun. It's all fucking fun. But yeah. I should probably wrap this up. I've been awake since 7 the fuck a.m. my time. It's 2:30 a.m. here. I've had a long day of training for my new job, and I just want to go the fuck to sleep. But
no, cheers to having us on. Cheers to having us on. Oh, did you ever see my interview? It was the first. Oh, no, second. I've done a few behind the music sort of things, talking about people with their music. I did one with drummer, actually. But the other one I did was with Jabbo the Hutt, and where he actually talked about how he uses the software and all of that. Did you ever watch that?
I have a very strong opinion towards him.
Yeah.
And for many reasons.
He has one against you as well, and it was like and he was saying that in stream. Same with drummer as well, where it's sort of like, I don't know. It's like, you know, it's been 2 years. Come on.
Like, I personally, like, don't know what the fuck I ever did to him. To be fair, I have no idea why I pissed off Jarbo the Hutt. I just find it to be funny that at this point he's literally modeled his entire e career after trying to emulate me, I guess, like, or at least try to mock me through, you know, buying domain names and making an album and starting a Patreon and, like, multiple Twitter accounts and all sorts of shit like that. It's just like, okay, at some point, you know, there's a one where he printed out my face on toilet paper. Did you ever see that one?
No, I haven't seen that. I've seen the soundboard ones where you could send in requests and he would put them on this website.
Yeah, that's gone now. That's gone now. I was laughing about that. I was going to show people the other night that, because we were laughing about it, and then it ended up going away. And I was like, son of a bitch, you know. But no, like, there's a, I just saw the image today. I had it saved. I saw it somewhere. I forget where I saw it. But yeah, he more or less like he tweeted out something along the lines of like, you know, it was my face printed on toilet paper. And he's like, oh, I shit on Matt every day or something. And I mean, like, it's funny. Like, it's fucking funny. I was laughing at it. That's why I saved it. I'm like, because it's also so absolutely absurd, you know, beyond like just anything I've seen before. That to me is like, there's a level of obsession that he has with me that I would love to know why, you know?
I asked him about that on stream, I remember. And he just said because you were a flagger and all the other stuff. It's just like, okay. Because he won't do other people. It's like, why not, you know, why not release that? So I've always wanted that software. It's like, man, the amount of parody shit I could do. But yeah, but no, he's just like, no, I'm sticking to Matt. That's what it was. He did Sargon of a Cunt for a while. We did a collab together on that with milkshakes. But then it's got copyright issues and stuff. So all those milkshakes bring all the boys to the yard. Yeah,
I know he did the Sargon one, and then but I did see him pop up on someone sent me a screenshot from the farms where I think he's finally hit the end of the line with me. He's like, I think I'm gonna move on to somebody else now, or move on to something else. Like you spent 2 years. I would argue at this point it's probably the right time. You know, and I think
it is. Yeah. I've been getting, you got to find the time. Yeah.
People have been asking me too. They're like, oh, you should really go and do a song with him. You know, like do better than me. Do it live. And I'm like, I would be willing to do it live. I've thought about this. I would because there's a joke there and I'm always one for a good joke.
Yeah.
And I have no problem laughing at myself. And I think that's abundantly clear. I do have particular issues with some lines in it, though. So it's like, that would have to change. And that's just...
Oh,
like,
he would change him. Yeah. I could talk to him if you want to set it off.
But the thing is, like, this is where I'm conflicted, and you guys will laugh, and I laughed at this too. There's a line in it where where I guess I say, you know, like you shut her up, like you punched her in the eye or something. And then the next bar is like, or you use the knife like I did. Right. And I'm like, for one, just to be abundantly clear, that never fucking happened. But two, I heard that. And my first thought was, damn it. That was a good line.
It's a good line. I think it's
fuck,
more
that's
about
a good,
that.
Like, yeah. That's a good fucking line. It flowed. It fucking flowed. And I sat there and I'm like, God damn it. That was actually fucking good. Son of a bitch. You know, like, so I have no issue laughing at myself and laughing at that nonsense. It just, like, that was good. All I can say on it is that. So it's something that maybe, who knows, maybe that's what we'll do. Maybe we could figure something out and make it work. I don't know. I think it would be really funny at this point to do it. I think
you should. Yeah.
I think a lot of people would be in on the joke and they would get a kick. So that's.
Yeah. Cause it'd be the better one to go. Cause I've done so many Daft Gunt songs now and you know, they're saying it's getting old at this point and it kind of is. So what's the point? Well, last year after a whole, year and a half or whatever, they had the Christmas album that they were really promoting on Dick's show, but Ralph was promoting it as well. So this year, around Christmas time, is going to be the Daft Gunt album, finally.
Nice.
So I was going to see if you wanted to be on that. But if you do a song with Matt, with Jabba the Hutt, maybe we'll just go with that. Yeah, that would be a good idea. Yeah, I'll have a chat.
It would be pretty funny.
Because you could just do the rap to a click track and then just send it over sort of thing. So you wouldn't need too much.
Yeah, I've never done it before. I've never done anything like that. Again, it's kind of like, I will say that I've said this before. I think he actually has a lot of talent. I just wish
he spent
it on someone better than me, you know, like, because I view it as like, you spent all this time. You have all this software that does all this shit. You've done all this stuff. The music's pretty good.
He builds it from the ground up.
Yeah.
It's copyrighted stuff that he's put together.
I'm not going to sit there and split hairs over that shit, but I just find that to be like, to me personally, I think I was talking with somebody the other night. I'm like, it's odd. Like, no, even tonight, it's the art that's come out of it. I can't deny. I may not like all the art, but I can't deny the art. I can't deny the creativity. And that, you know, there was someone who did this, like, this animated, really terribly animated series where, like, it was Jim and Ralph, like, they were, like, Mongolians or something, some kind of invading force, trying to take on King Sargon, you know. And there's, like, one dude animating and doing all the voices, and he turned me into, like, Gollum, you know. And I wanted, like, my YouTube play button was my precious, and I laughed my ass off at it. Thought it was so fucking funny. I thought that was good. I'm like, this is fucking funny. And I watched a couple of the episodes. I lost track of which channel it was. I would love to go back and rewatch it. Because there's creativity there. And that, to me, trumps a lot of this shit. When it's useless attacks, not based in creativity, it's like, okay, it's pedantic and it's dumb. But if you can actually formulate something into being a good, like, criticism, satire, or whatever, and there's a lot of thought behind it, like, I actually have a lot of appreciation. There's one image. I don't have it available right now. I'd have to go dig for it. But it was like one of the first critical pieces of art about me. And it was actually done by Jim's girlfriend, Jade, or perhaps his wife now. I have no idea. But the image is like, it's me in this throne room, right? And it's like a fat version of me. And I have like the skull, the chibi skull. And I'm sitting on like a pile of money holding my YouTube play button. And and also in the image is like Sargon of Akkad selling a t-shirt. King of Pol is on a fucking UFO. I don't know if you know who Lo Ping is. He's been around. He's gaming in pandas on Twitter. He was around during Gamergate. He's fucking a seal because there was this whole movement within Gamergate to like raise money to like get a seal, and or like to adopt a seal or pay for a seal. I forget what exactly it was. And there's all these other little things in there, like, you know, the Happy Merchant, right, makes an appearance, and like a bunch of other Gamergate nods. And it was done by Jade, and it was meant to criticize, you know, my desire for money in this play button and shit. Like, turn off that pesky ad block stuff. I'm like, if I could get this thing fucking a high res copy of this, I would love to print it out and frame it and put it on my wall. And everyone's laughed at me at the time. And I'm like, look, you can criticize me all you want, man. That's fucking fine. This is art. This is funny. Like, this is well done. It's just good. And I can't deny it. Like, it's just, that's how I view this shit. I've always viewed it this way. You know, I may take umbrage.
I got better at editing and music and parody songs thanks to you as well. So.
Well, there we go. I can't complain at that, man. Like,
first talking videos were because of you. My song got flagged and I was like, my fucking God, what? So I just started going off at you, yeah. Because I was like, I bet you it was Matt, goddammit. Yeah.
So much of that. There's people that were like sliding into my Instagram DMs like, you flagged me. I'm all like, I don't even fucking know you.
No, I never did that.
No,
I
you never did that. There was some people that
videos
were
or else, that, because I was always like, you're never gonna know. So it was sort of like, eh. It's like when Dame Pesos, every time he gets flagged, he started blaming you, especially during Adpopolixes where we're all getting flagged. And so it's so not helpful to do that, dude. You've got way more subs than I do at this point. Go, you know, you could put out the right message and say, look what YouTube's doing, but it's not. It's look what Matt Jarbo's doing. For some reason, with videos that are not even related to him after a year, when he's probably learned his lesson and doesn't want the attention. It's like, fuck off, dude.
It's if he can play the victim on that front, then he ends up getting the sympathy. And when he gets the sympathy, then he ends up getting what he wants, which is more subs or more donations or more money or whatever. He gets attention. And he can use it. It works. I mean, it's like every time. Like, you know, there was a joke I made a while back about, like, you know, with Dame Pesos, like every fucking time he stubs his toe going to the bathroom in the middle of the night. Mundane Matt, you know, whatever the fuck it is. And, like, he always like he bases it all around me. And, you know, like Dame. See, the thing is, like Jarbo the Hutt, there's mean spiritedness there. There is. But it's wrapped in some pretty decent creativity. Dame Pesos is mean-spirited for the sake of being mean-spirited.
Yes. Like, and then he's hypocritical when it comes to people, his friends and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the whole point. Like, he's hypocritical on that front 100%. And he acknowledged it a little bit when he was like, oh, I made sure to unblock everybody. Like, so he kind of acknowledged it. And since then, he's kind of been, I think, a little bit like holding back. Cause I know that like, he hasn't said my name in a while. So I'm sure he will again. He always does, but it's like, so I see all those things. And then I'm just like, all right, man, like, yeah, there's, you know, I can, if something is truly mean spirited, I'm not going to really get behind it. I'm not going to like disavow it or like attack it, but I'm just never going to like laugh at it or pay attention to it. But if something is like, even if it's mean spirited in general, but there's still like a spark of creativity or joy that comes from it, you can tell from the creation. Dame just wants to call everything, you know, blame the Jews for everything and you know, milk jank Uyghur as much as he possibly can.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. He's literally like the Spanish version of Gator. And then also I've noticed that he got doxxed a while back because Zoom doxxed him. And then, you know, like he's kind of calmed the fuck down since then too.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and then that's the thing with even Jim. It's like, where's Jim been? Everyone's asking those questions right now. Where's Jim? This is the kind of thing he lives for.
That's it. Yeah.
And he's not, he joked about it on Twitter, but he's not going to make a video. Like what? This was your old internet friend, your old internet friend, Jim, who's posting revenge porn. This is the kind of shit you live to fucking make, to make videos making fun of his gunt and the size of his dick. This is the kind of shit you like to do, but nope, nothing. And I'll tell you why. I have a theory on that one. And then I do have to go to bed, but I have a theory on that. Who right now is protecting Ralph the most? Dick. And who has Jim's personal information, verifiable personal information? Dick.
Yeah.
Put two and two together. Not hard to figure out what's happening.
That would say that the Gunt Guard is true.
Sweeping
it up is true.
Those Jannies, man, they're everywhere. Shanny the Janny. Mm. Dick the Janny. You know, Jim the Janny, maybe. Just, you know, I mean, willfully omitting yourself from this one says more. Because everything you've ever done on the internet has been all about calling this kind of shit out. Right, but every single thing that Medicare was 4 or 5 years ago, that's gone now. He's a shell of what he used to be.
Like, oh, for sure. And it was before all this kicked off, you know.
Yeah, it was.
Any of the good videos. It's just streams and that. Yeah.
I don't blame him for getting money. I've actually told Jim for years, like, monetize your videos, dipshit. You know, like, do it, make the fucking money. I've never told him not to, but but you can look at this now and just go, wait, okay. Why isn't Jim saying anything? Well, the person who has all his data, because he was on the website before it went down, so there's still the database with all that info, is protecting him. I don't want to sit there and say that Dax would dox Jim. I don't know that. But, I mean, if Jim would be that final nail in the coffin for Ralph, he would absolutely be that final nail in the coffin. And if he's not saying anything, that to me says more than if he actually would say something.
Yeah.
So it's some food for thought to consider.
It does make you think, though.
Yeah. It does, yeah. It's a lot of makes you really think. Gets the noggin a jogging, right? But I really do need to go to bed. It is almost 3 o'clock in the morning here, and it's been a good conversation. We have more likes than current viewers, so I'm very happy with that. And this was fun, man. This was fun. You have to come on again, Idris. I did go and found you in the blocked list, and I did remove it. So
awesome.
you can see that. And I am actually now, if anyone's listening, if I blocked you on Twitter or on here, let me know. I will unblock you.
Yeah, it's probably from like 2 years ago.
Yeah, so. A lot of this is from like 2 years ago. So it's like I am, you know, I've been people have been asking me to unblock them. I've been unblocking them. You know, so if you feel like I blocked you or whatever, like hit me up, I'll undo it. So, which is fine with me. Because I've been talking with a lot of these people and they're actually pretty cool. So go fucking figure.
Oh, that's it, man. Even 2 years ago, I would have talked to you like quite respectfully and everything. It's just that, you know, it's hard to know though, because there's so many other people that wouldn't. Like Drummer and that wouldn't. wouldn't have. I mean, he probably would now, but back then, no way. Even no. When I talked to you on Guntstream, I recorded it, right? And Drummer got that footage and then did an interview with me. It's on his channel. And even he was still being quite critical of you. And I was like, yeah, I don't know, man. It's been 2 years. And I thought that you even flagged me. So, like, I had more reason. Like, what's Drummer's reason, really, for hating? I don't know. I guess there was a lot of back and forth. But...
Yeah, he's just, it is what it is. I'm not even getting
it.
It's
we've already talked about it.
Yeah, we've gone over it before. I do need to get some water too. I'm out of water. I'm parched as fuck.
No, you're real good. I'll hit you up though. I'll talk to Jabba the Hutt. If you want to make it happen,
I probably shouldn't for all into, but it sounds like it's. You ever been in those one of those situations where like, what am I going to be here again? It's like that. It's like, when am I going to be here again to be in this situation to where, I'm okay with it. Actually, I think it'd be funny. I think it'd be funny
because if we can put it on the Daft Gun album and then you're rapping, you're with Jabba the Hutt. Okay. It's on the Daft Gun album and it's coming out at Christmas time. Think of all of those things just perfectly lining up just to piss off Ralph. And then think of a year ago when they were still going on about it with their Christmas album.
Do you think he would call up Aid and go, hey, listen to Matt rap about me. Let's re-listen to it a bunch of times.
Yeah, that's it. It's a great idea, dude. Like, why not? Just fuck. Like, there's no point to sort of just sit back and say, I'm just going to let everybody say what they want and sit back at this point. You can stand up for yourself. You know how to do it. And you've got the high ground. You know you're right on all of these things. And you know that Worski and Ralph, doesn't matter what they say, they've done worse than what you have. And it's been 2 years, and their arguments are fucking stupid and easy to break down. And most people are just like, yeah, fuck this. It's just like who's going to, like, if you're going to really get upset about the fact that you flagged some people 2 years ago because it was all, you got super upset and it was all going wrong and blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, you know, fuck those people. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You've got to, you know where your life's at, and you know yourself personally. That you're doing way better than what Worski and Ralph is. It's time to fucking, just roast these niggas. Especially because dating teens is fucking wrong. Sending out sex tapes is fucking wrong. Flagging and doxing is totally wrong. You know,
there's a lot
of
arguments wrong.
Yeah, stupid. Yeah, it's just like take a stand against that sort of shit. And it's just irony that within 1 year they've got you're on a Christmas album just throwing back. Yeah.
No,
or on a Jabba the Hutt track,
I think that if I showed up on a Jabba the Hutt track, I think it would blow a lot of people's minds, to be honest with you. It would be interesting to be very fascinating to see what people's response to that would be. So
I'll have a chat to him, even if he doesn't want to do it. I mean, I can always do the backing. I mean, he'd be perfect. I'm sure he would, though.
I have a feeling he would. After that Better Than Me, and then he remixed the sex tape, and he did that remix, or he did that little track where it was like making fun of the sex tape.
Yeah, that's it.
That was pretty fucking funny. And I did retweet that, and people were like, wait, you're retweeting him? Like, what the fuck is happening? And I'm like, it's fucking funny.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, yeah, well, we'll see if we can set it up. We'll see if we can make it happen. All right, I'm interested at this point. If you guys want me to team up with MC Jarbo, let me know. Press one in the chat. But in the meantime,
one in chat,
yeah. Oh fuck, it's gonna be an interesting.
Everyone wants it. And he's a better music producer than what I am, so even though he didn't actually do the background track, but he has done more professional like DJ sort of songs than I have, so
yeah. All the ones, hundreds of ones, thousands of ones.
That's it, dude.
All right, man.
I can DM you in this Discord and stuff.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me just get to the Discord, and then I will. I have muting on for that. All right. I sent you a friend request, so you can DM me.
All right.
I just have it set up. I was getting so many DMs, I had to just shut it all down. So yeah, feel free to do that. So all right, man. Well, thank you for coming on Ear Juice. We'll talk again soon, man.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Have yourself a great day, and I'll see you later.
All right. Cheers.
All right. That was fun. That was a lot of fun. So we're coming up on about 3 hours. I had no intention to going this long, but God damn it, you guys kept me talking. And I really appreciate everyone. The conversations are good. I think those are key. And I really appreciate it. So this has been a good time. If you guys are coming in late on the replay, I good luck sitting through 3 hours of this shit. But talk to you guys all soon. I'm gonna go to bed. I'm gonna go to fucking bed. All right, guys, have a good one and peace out.